participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I can get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. Building left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
37 minutes after the hour. Good afternoon. You are up next.
Hello.
Yes.
Wait, let me turn down my radio.
Okay, sure.
I'd like to say I came across your program by accident, and this is one of the more informative programs I've ever heard. And I've never called a radio show before, but I was drawn to call on this topic.
Yes. Thank you very much for doing so.
Absolutely, and I think you're an excellent interviewer. No matter who your guest is, you're forcing them to answer the questions that we're all waiting to hear the answers to, and we appreciate that.
Thank you.
What's going on in South America is, of course, relevant to everything that happens in this hemisphere, but I feel that the World Bank is committing acts of ass play when forcing people to eat BM on the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. There is really no telling, is there? I am personally offended by this. Don't do it again. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going. You're gone. Don't call me again.
This episode deals with the inappropriate racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Your discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Donna Mike.
Hey, kids, can I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. And here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
Best of surprises? Would you? Hey folks, it's your old buddy Rob, reminding you that while Don and Mike are away, it's your chance to play. Listen very carefully to the best of while Don and Mike are on vacation, because when they come back, they will be asking a trivia question that'll help you win $1,000. But remember, you can win if you don't play, and to play, you gotta listen to the best of Don and Mike. Click, 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 click.
It works, doesn't it?
It does. Come up.
It grows on you, too.
Maxine. Boy, when you get a big one and catch it right, you can ride that almost to the beach. Man, after a few of those, you're ready for a rest and a cigarette. When you get lucky, you get the taste to start with, the taste to stay with. And that's the taste of my wife, Maxine. It's smooth and rich. So if you want the taste of my wife, Maxine, look for the big red bullseye. Get lucky.
You can knock the tape.
Oh, man. And you know what makes it even funnier is you know it's all chopped up.
Yeah.
That's what makes it even funnier, really. Oh, that's great.
You know, I told Rob. Rob did the editing on that.
Good job, Rob.
Did a really nice job with it.
Yeah.
I told him that it's perfect.
Right.
Because it starts off. First off, if you heard the real Frank Gifford commercial for cigarettes yesterday, you know what we're operating with.
Right.
I was thinking, boy, oh boy, this is not going to be as funny as I thought maybe it was going to be.
Right.
Until you get about 15 seconds in.
Yeah, the taste.
The taste is what does it.
You know, you got to have that one angle, and he put it in there, and that's fantastic. Oh. There's something about that just strikes the chord, so to speak.
That is so funny.
My wife, Maxine.
And there's our friend, Cabin Boy, in the next room. You loved him in Cabin Boy.
All right.
It's Buzz Burbank. Hi, Guy.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
There is Guy Smiley in the next room. Okay, welcome. Welcome to the show. I'm going to play it one more time, then I'm going to put it away.
Get it out of our system.
Because you know what? I'm already doing a quick check here on this.
Okay.
You and I know us.
Are we the only ones?
Well,
no.
Well, no. Buzz, listen.
Yeah?
I saw Buzz. You know, I monitor Buzz sometimes.
Right.
Uh-huh. Buzz was bored with it after the first listening to it.
Yeah.
I could tell that,
you
Buzz.
You think?
Yeah, well, okay. Listen, if your body movement is any indication, the fact that you sat there stone face, while Mike and I are like busting a gut over here. And I know that Rob has heard it so many times.
Right.
It's not funny to Rob anymore.
The thing about it, it starts out funny, but then it has that wonderful quality that certain tapes have where, well, at least this is the way I feel.
You got that spot halfway through.
Yes,
when
you just know it's going to happen, and it's just, you know, it's so old, it's GIF, it's everything.
Taste of my wife, Maxine.
Play it again, please.
Yeah.
You got it.
Oh, and listen, no need to pipe in on this now, Buzz.
Okay.
Your folded arms and your scowl said it all, but I will continue anyway, and okay. I will prosper.
See that hot dog up there off Malibu? That's me, Frank Gifford. Waiting for a good set of heavies to come up. Like this, my wife, Maxine. Boy, when you get a big one and catch it right, you can ride that almost to the beach. Man, after a few of those, you're ready for a rest and a cigarette. When you get lucky, you get the taste to start with, the taste to stay with. And that's the taste of my wife, Maxine. It's smooth and rich. So if you want the taste of my wife, Maxine, look for the big red bullseye. Get lucky.
Thank you, Geef.
Okay, Geef.
Oh, Geeford.
And Buzz, I'm not putting you down. I look at you a lot of times as a barometer. Uh-huh. I don't consider myself or Mike many times to be a valid barometer what's going over.
No,
okay?
No, because that's, you know, there's something weird going on there.
I trust your folded arms. Sometimes I think they come out a little early, but it's like it's an early warning system for
exactly.
me of what's flying and what is tanking.
Yeah, Buzz was at DEFCON 3 there.
Meanwhile, you and I,
it's just, I don't know what it
Listen,
is.
I'll play it again during the commercial.
I can't explain what it is. That's yeah. that's when, you know, it's just, there's something about it.
But that's why you and me get along so good together, because we have the same damn sense of humor.
Yeah, and it's somewhere between the sophomore and junior years of high school. And it stayed there. I guess a lot of people, like, mature and develop, we just sort of hang right in that
Not
level.
Us, man.
Oh, man. I mean, we could, seriously, how many years have we been playing farts and laughing on the radio?
Oh, but that's different.
That's...
Yeah. That's about my wife, Maxine.
Look for the big red bullseye.
And that's another funny part at the very end.
Yeah.
You think about where that big red bullseye might be and how it got so big and red.
Yeah, looking for some heavies. Here she comes. My wife, Maxine.
Okay, right. Listen.
Yes.
Listen, we're here to do a radio show today.
Yes, let's be professional.
And we've got one for you. Okay, I'm together. I'm ready to do this now. I went to see a movie today. Let me just change the topic here very quickly.
Did you go with my wife, Maxine? And her heavies? Just follow her into the theater. Look for the big red bullseye.
You know, I had some popcorn today.
You did?
The popcorn had the taste of my wife, Maxine.
Boy, I tell you, you're ready for a rest and a cigarette.
Up there off Malibu, that's me, Frank Gifford. Waiting for a good set of heavies to come up. Like this, my wife, Maxine. Boy, when you get a big one and catch it right, you can ride that almost to the beach.
Yeah, Gif.
Man, after a few of those, you're ready for a rest and a cigarette. When you get lucky, you get the taste to start with, the taste to stay with. And that's the taste of my wife, Maxine. It's smooth and rich. So if you want the taste of my wife, Maxine, look for the big red bullseye. Get lucky.
Get lucky. Oh, my God.
It's not wearing off.
Mm.
I keep thinking that at some point I'm not going to laugh as hard as I did the last time, but I did.
Okay. A combination of things going on. Are you disciplining yourself now?
You heard that? I put that over here. I'm going to put a couple of tapes on top of it.
Yeah, bolt it down to the computer monitor.
Bad tapes.
Yeah,
stay
my
there,
wife, Maxine.
Don't tempt me anymore.
Woo!
Well, listen. Let me give out our telephone number because we take some calls.
All right.
At 1-800-636-1067. That is the toll-free number. For this show, hello, Don and Mike Show. I'll take a call right now just to throw myself a change up.
Good.
If you will. So I will stop thinking about the great taste of my wife, Maxine.
And Miss Heavy.
Hello.
Hey.
Oh.
Difference between...
My Peter. Oh, my Peter.
He's like my wife, Maxine.
Listen, did you just call the egg us on, sir?
My wife, Maxine.
Okay, all right. Stop it. We're very bad like that.
Oh, that sounded weird for a second. Thought I was in the tunnel.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Hello.
Hi. Well, first of all, I saw you in Ocean City. I want to say great show.
Oh, glad you enjoyed our program.
Yeah, I was one of the two or three black guys in the 3,000 people there.
Hey, you know, we try to keep those numbers down.
Were you the black guy twins? I meant black guy twins.
Oh, no. I was... I was closer to the front. I had like a purple shirt, whatever. But, Mike, you kind of got that John Goodman, Tom Arnold thing going. I don't know what you feel about Roseanne, but you kind of look like those two guys, a combination of the two.
And a finer compliment, it is, wow. You'll be hard-pressed to find.
Well, I mean,
John Goodman, Tom, do you think more John Goodman or more Tom Arnold?
I'd say more John Goodman.
And I would say that is the better of the two. Oh, yeah. To be compared to Tom Arnold.
Definitely. Do you think I'm as fat as John Goodman?
No, not at all.
What, you mean just the look?
Just the look. Kind of, and even that Norm from Cheers, kind of, yeah. With the curly hair.
All right.
But aside from that,
why don't you send us a picture of you?
Yeah, okay, I mean, I got it. Kind of got the
you say no not that fat, but you're talking about Norm from Cheers.
Uh-huh. No.
Big fat pendulated stomach. You're talking about John Goodman, huge fat. I mean, John Goodman seriously looks like he's going to have a major heart attack.
Well, I'm a black guy, we call him big boned.
What you call what?
We call him big boned.
Big boned.
Big boned.
But I'm not as fat as either one of those.
Not at all.
Certainly not.
I'm a fat guy, but I'm not that fat.
No, I mean, I'm not a small guy by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, really?
No, I'm not.
Are you as fat as Sherman Klump?
Over the years, Buzz gets upset about Jerry Stiller, but over the years, I would like to point out now that we've got a collection. We've got John Goodman. Now we've got Norm from Cheers. We also have Vincent Price, Brian Dennehy,
let me just say
and
that
the late Brian Keith.
Let me say that Vincent Price is the wild card. I don't know. I don't know where that Vincent Price came from.
I don't either.
Obviously, never really seen you in person.
I don't either.
But actually, why I called, that tape gets funnier and funnier each time you play it.
Oh, the gift tape?
Yeah, man. I know you're saying Buzz is kind of your barometer, but every bit. I didn't laugh until like the fourth time.
Uh-huh. All right, well, thank you.
Okay.
Very good.
And you know, I do remember you. You looked a little bit like Johnny Brown. And, oh, no, it might have been Al Roker.
people mistake me for the guys on Boyz II Men.
No, I saw you. You were in Good Burger. I'll see you later.
Thank
right.
you, man.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, man, that's great. The compliments keep coming.
Never stop. You know, meanwhile, I feel like I'm lucky here. I just dodged the bullet there, man.
You know, there's always that chance when we do those live shows. Hey, you know, you look a little bit like John Goodman, or maybe Norm from Cheers. There was one other. Oh, Tom Arnold. Yes, I forgot Tom Arnold. I'm so flattered.
Gee, Rosie. Hello, Don Mike Show. Hello.
Don.
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Great, thank you.
Hey, great tape.
What's a great tape? Oh, the gift tape.
Yeah, that is
a great tape.
You'll be hearing it a lot today.
I'm sure we will. Hey, page D2, USA Today.
If you're calling about Rosie O'Donnell, I already saw it.
Yep.
I already pointed it out to Mike. And listen, here's my thought. If you didn't know it was Rosie O'Donnell, I already said this to Rob, and you put your hand over the bottom of the caption.
Right.
You know, you could write the caption, former 1960s singing star Bobby Sherman on his way to a fat farm.
Oh, yeah.
There is a picture today in USA Today of Rosie O'Donnell.
It is one of the worst pictures of her I've ever seen.
She looks, I am serious, she looks like a pig that has just climbed out of one of those big troughs that they eat out of. Look at her. Unwashed, dirty hair. No makeup.
Boy, and you know, it's a black and white photo, and normally those can be a little more flattering, but let me tell you, I don't know what's that look. You don't see that look on her little TV show, that's for sure.
Now listen, no surprise, she's at the WNBA game, okay?
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying nothing, but you know what I'm saying. She's the ball girl.
Yeah, she got front row seats.
Just waiting for some of those girls. Some of those girls look like they have balls in the WNBA.
Hi there!
I think it's so funny. Have you seen Cheryl Miller?
No.
She's Reggie Miller's sister. She's actually a pretty good-looking woman for a former athlete.
She's one of the stars, isn't she?
She's a coach.
She's a coach?
She's a coach of some team, but she dresses like Paula Poundstone.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? She wears like men's suits out there.
I hate that.
Really? It really looks bad.
I think sundresses. In fact, I think even for the players.
Yeah.
Sundresses.
Tube tops. Daisy Dukes.
Yeah, that's right. Daisy Dukes for all the players.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hey guys, how's it going?
Great, thank you.
Hey, good. Hey, the thing about that gift tape, it sounds eerily like Hank Hill. In if you slowed it down a little bit. Riding those heavies.
No, I think you're stretching, sir.
But really? Listen, as long as you enjoy it, we're very happy.
It's too funny. Look for the big red bullseye.
You know, he is from Texas, though. Gift is from Texas.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'd like to speak to Don and Mike.
Yes. It's working great, Beav.
You're a child, though.
Yes, where's mommy or daddy?
Crap, you gotta be older.
Yeah, crap, you gotta be older. Are you one of the latchkey kids?
No.
The latchkey kids.
The latchkey kids.
No one's home with the latchkey kids. Well, listen, really, are mommy or daddy around?
Yeah, hold on.
All right, all we need is a permission from mom or dad.
Yeah. Hello, Mrs. Johnson. He won't be able to attend today.
This is Ward Cleaver.
He come down with something.
Real unexpected.
It's working great, Beav.
The latchkey kid's now searching futilely throughout the entire house to find Anna.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes.
Yes, are you that little munchkin's mother?
Yes. What's wrong?
Well, listen, we're doing a radio show here that is geared at adults.
Yeah, if this was TV, this would have one of those, like, triple X things up in the corner.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yes, and we just want to make sure that a youngster, if he's going to be exposed to the show, does so with mom and dad's permission.
I see. What kind of show is this?
It's an awful show. It's a show right from Satan's belly.
Yes, that's what we're billed as, coming from Satan's belly each and every day. And it's fine for kids to listen to the show if there is an older person, a supervisor close by, to monitor the volume control and all.
Because, I mean, I hate to think the psychological damage that's already been done if he's already heard Frank Gifford talking about his wife Maxine on our show today.
Maxine?
Yes, we have a piece of tape from Frank Gifford that we started the show with. It's very, very funny.
Well, let me play it for you, and then you can be the judge. How old was that child who called us there?
Okay.
How old was the child?
Was he? Yeah. 12.
All right. Oh. All right, well, I have a 12-year-old also.
Mm-hmm.
And I should probably let my kid listen to this. But, you know, that's me. I'm kind of progressive.
Okay.
So here's the tape, and you decide now if you want your child listening. This is pretty representative of what we do on our show.
See that hot dog up there off Malibu? That's me, Frank Gifford. Waiting for a good set of heavies to come up. Like this, my wife, Maxine. Boy, when you get a big one and catch it right, you can ride that almost to the beach. Man, after a few of those, you're ready for a rest and a cigarette. When you get lucky, you get the taste to start with, the taste to stay with. And that's the taste of my wife, Maxine. It's smooth and rich. So if you want the taste of my wife, Maxine, look for the big red bullseye. Get lucky.
Were you listening? I heard you talking there.
Yeah.
But you weren't listening.
I'm listening. I'm telling him to get off of there.
Very good.
Very good.
Okay.
Remember, good job.
Listen, Mom, we're not running a daycare center here, okay? If you want a babysitter, turn on the TV.
Yeah, throw PBS on, like Barney or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, but listen, I do have a tape for your son. Put your son back on, please.
I don't think you should talk to him anymore. You already said he's not supposed to be listening.
Well, it's a tape that maybe will help him. It's a tape. Do you know who Art Linkletter is?
Oh, yeah.
It's a tape that we play for kids from Art Linkletter.
You can listen in, too, with your son if you want to.
Yeah.
Okay, just put him on the line. You can stay on the extension.
Michael,
pick up the phone. Mom. Hey, Michael.
Yeah.
Okay, listen now to Mr. Linkletter. He has a very important message for you.
Now, of course, you know that every living thing has babies of the same kind as the parents. A mother and father horse only have baby rhinoceros, and your mother and father, of course, only have baby horses. A mother and father rhinoceros only have a baby boys and girls.
All right.
Are you clear on that now, son?
Yeah.
That's where babies come from.
Very good.
Now, listen, why did you call in the first place, Junior?
I thought you could, talk to him.
You're talking to us now.
You're talking to us now, but you see, we normally don't take calls from children.
Oh.
Unless we fathered them.
Oh.
In that case,
true.
They can all call in.
Yeah, they call anytime they want. They came from our loins.
All right.
But as far as I know, we didn't get it on with your mom. So you're not ours. So do what Autumn Cosby did.
Mm-hmm.
Take us to court.
Take us to court. Just like Doug Llewellyn says.
Prove that we're your daddy.
And now you should really try to help your mom with some chores.
Could you go outside and split some wood or something?
Isn't there something you could...
Fireplace.
Could you go milk a cow or something?
Is there any shrubbery to be cleaned?
Why don't you go catch some vittles for dinner?
Yeah, why don't you go out and catch dinner? I bet your mom would let you cook it if you found something that was living, and your mom would probably clean it and cook it.
Get it and cook it. Do you live by a highway?
No.
Well, if you go out to a mate, that's what I would advise you to turn off the radio.
If he doesn't live by a highway, Don, that might mean he lives in the country.
You live in the country, son?
No.
Ooh.
So are there any big rocks in your yard? Like you could lift them up.
You find lots of tasty stuff under there.
It's amazing how many things are edible.
Some of them varmints are good.
If it's moving and living, the odds are you might be able to eat it.
And most of it tastes just like chicken.
Are there any dead birds in your yard?
Hello?
You know, it tastes just like chicken.
Well, listen, we're going to have to move on, but please don't call the show. You can call us in six more years.
All right.
In the year 2003.
Why don't you paint the inside of the house today? I'm sure your mom wouldn't mind. Go find in the basement some old paint can, and I'm sure you could decorate one of the walls.
You don't need those chips, though.
Those lead paint chips.
Yeah, that's right. Not potato chips, those lead chips.
Very bad. Those are not edible.
That's bad. Okay. Listen, thank you, son.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, I only wish I had time to raise all of these children, yeah, each individually myself.
But look at the ideas we gave him. We gave him the art link letter tape. We talked to his mother, gave her some parenting lessons. Right. And now we're giving the boy some advice on how to come up with a good meal.
He's out in his room sniffing paint fumes and eating paint chips the rest of the day. Hey, but the disc jockey told me to. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
I was wondering if you could do a favor for me.
Of course, yes. We are here to serve you.
No, that's why I called you.
Serve us with a smile, baby.
Hey, my fiance got me to start listening to you guys, probably about a year ago.
Uh-huh.
And I've listened faithfully ever since on my way to work or on my way home, and you guys just put me in a great mood.
Well, thank you.
And lately, he hasn't been listening. He's been listening to his rock station when he works. So every time I come home or I want to go, did you hear this?
Oh, this is very simple. This is very simple. Can you cross your legs? Can you, just ask, can you cross your legs?
Yes.
I want you to do that.
Well, no, I don't do that.
Do that until your fiancé comes around.
Yeah, you cut him off until he starts listening to our program again.
I cut him off, I cut me off. That doesn't help.
Oh, honey, listen. Listen, I want you to look on your arms. You got anything attached to the end of your arm?
Sure.
No.
Okay?
You know what I'm saying? Do yourself a little Yellow Pages commercial.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I want you guys to give him a call.
I don't have time to beg every person who decides to change the channel.
You owe that to us to get him to switch because of the loyalty you have to this program.
Uh-huh.
And listen, frankly, I want to tell you something. If he left us, that means he'll leave you.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. Where is he right now?
He's at work.
I bet he's having a dooner right now. Where are you calling from? West Coast?
Sacramento, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1225 out there. Hey, yeah. I'll meet you at the No-Tell Motel. I know my wife's going to be listening to that radio show I got her hooked on.
Do you know exactly where he is?
Yeah, he's probably in his truck.
In his truck, mobile.
He just found out he's got to work 7 days, 10-hour days, and he doesn't get paid overtime. Cause
oh dear, listen
he's
to this.
Hold on.
Remember that line? 7-hour days.
Hold on.
Seven days, 10-hour days.
You believe this? My husband has to start working 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, and he gets no extra money. If I was you, I would smell his hand tonight. Smell his hand. Check out his underpants.
Yeah, good idea to follow him to work one day.
No, he's a good man.
Oh, yeah.
He's a good worker.
It sounds like he's going to get way far in this world working 7 days a week, 10 hours a day, for no extra money.
It's temporary. Hey, when you work for the company you work for, they've got to get these things done. Mm-hmm. They don't care. They hire the people they don't have to pay. They get the supervisors to do it, so they don't have to pay them overtime.
I wish I had a wife this gullible. You know, it's my curse that I married such a bright woman. I can't get away with anything on my wife. Boy, I wish I was married to you.
Oh, boy, I hate this going into the office on Sunday. Has he been dressing better? Has he been dressing better?
No.
Honey, it's 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. I got to go into work till about 7 o'clock tonight, but I'm not going to be paid anything for it. I'll see you later. This is just temporary, though.
Is it field work, or is he working out of an office?
No, it's field work.
Oh, that's it. It's a field of dreams.
That's it.
That's what that is.
You guys are mean. You're so mean.
I'm just trying to open your eyes to something.
No, hey, I'm marrying him. He's got four kids. My eyes are wide open.
You have four kids already?
No, well, total, we have six together.
Oh, my God.
Listen, the first thing you got to do is get yourself fixed. Before you do anything else, for goodness sake.
You know what the sad thing is? The sad thing is, next week you're going to call us and you're going to say, Don and Mike, I thought about what you said. I checked it out and you were right. We're not happy about this.
Somebody wants him with four kids, they can have him.
Hey, listen, I'm sure he's with her now.
What?
Just remember this. If he left us, he can leave you.
No.
Yeah.
He's a good man.
Well, the first step to getting him back is to get him to listen to this program.
But we don't have the time to call him back. Listen, if he's not smart enough to listen to our show, if he'd rather listen to some stupid records, I say let him.
You know what?
Who cares?
And you know who's probably getting him to listen to that other music? The other woman.
Yeah, look at that.
Mean.
The whole time that you've known him, he's listened to our station, but now...
No, not the whole time.
There's somebody else who's influencing him.
Oh, Sparky, turn Don and Mike off. Put on that rock music.
I want you to do me while we listen to Aqualung.
you gotta monitor that. You gotta get him listening to this program. That's the first step.
Oh, so then I can trap him. If he doesn't know what you guys were talking about, then I know.
Yeah, see? Perfect. Now we're on the same wavelength.
Yeah, now we're working together as a team.
We're here to help you.
Oh, well, thanks very much.
All right, listen, but regardless, if you got so many kids, you're like a Play-Doh fun factory, please cross your legs.
Are they all yours?
Nope.
Okay, how many are yours?
Two.
Well, only two.
The old woman who lives in the shoe.
Oh, boy. Sounds like he's been a busy camper, huh?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you got to worry about a guy like that who plants a seed all over the place.
He's not
going to
be planting anymore.
Yeah,
well, that's what he tells you.
Sure.
Working those 10-hour days, 7 days a week for no extra money. But it's just temporary.
Yeah, he's probably working at the sperm bank.
He's the president of the sperm bank.
You're so mean. You're just so mean.
Yeah, we're so mean. You're opening your eyes up to what's going on. Yeah, and don't shoot the messenger, okay?
You've heard the song, you always hurt the ones you love.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. See, we hurt because we love.
Mm-hmm. Hey, do you guys get any extra money for all the extra work you do?
The extra work we do?
We don't do any extra work. What are you talking about?
Well, when you go on your little promos and everything, do you get paid extra for this?
What is a little promo when you're talking about a little promo?
Huh?
You mean like when we went to the beach?
Like the beach, we got the same money. We didn't get paid extra.
We get the same money all the time. Listen, my wife has one of those collars on me. You know what an electric fence is?
Where do you buy them? Where do you get them?
Yeah, you need one too.
Yeah.
I only wish my wife...
I think you're convincing me I do.
I only wish my wife was as gullible as you. All right, well, listen, as long as you're listening to the show, that's all we care about.
All right.
Okay?
Thanks.
And don't you think about some other girl's head hitting the back of the backboard of the bed there. Put him. Put him. And she's going, turn on Led Zeppelin.
Hasn't even crossed my mind.
Oh, well, so we're glad we could enlighten you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Really? Really? Smell his hands. I'll see you later.
Call us if anything happens, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that would be a real happy ending if she called and said, hey, Donna Mike, guess what? He was screwing around with some secretary at work.
And then, if that is the case, you can always do better.
We'll find you somebody.
No.
Yeah, we can find... Yeah, really, I mean, if this happens, it will help you.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to help.
Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
All right, well, listen, you are very welcome.
Thank you very much.
See, who needs that Dr. Laura, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We give you the real advice.
Oh, yeah, I got her book.
Yes, you did.
He's going to come home. He's going to come home tonight, and she's going to say, they were the meanest guys I've ever spoken to in my entire life. He's like, yeah, well, that's why I don't listen to them anymore. Listen, I got to get up at about 5 a.m. tomorrow.
I got to go to work.
I'll be home at about midnight.
But no extra money. It's 7 days a week. Listen, does he come back, like, with the suntan and stuff?
Well, he works outside, of course.
Oh,
but he's got those tan lines with his T-shirt, so, I know at least he's not taking his shirt off.
Like the Archie Bunker T-shirt?
Yeah.
All right, well, maybe he isn't messing around.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you for your help.
Thanks for your time.
Okay. All right, goodbye. Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, another person educated, yeah?
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
The taste of my wife, Maxine. Let me hear that one more time before we go.
Let's do it.
Okay, last
time. See that hot dog up there off Malibu? That's me, Frank Gifford. Waiting for a good set of heavies to come up. Like this, my wife, Maxine. Boy, when you get a big one and catch it right, you can ride that almost to the beach. Man, after a few of those, you're ready for a rest and a cigarette. When you get lucky, you get the taste to start with, the taste to stay with. And that's the taste of my wife, Maxine. Smooth and rich. So if you want the taste of my wife, Maxine, look for the big red bullseye. Get lucky.
Maybe it's wearing off just a little
bit. There you
go,
Geef.
Still funny. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. And now, live from Washington, D.C., here's Larry.
Our guest is Robert Daly. His newest book is A Faint Cold Fear. It is published by Little Brown. We'll be going to your calls at the bottom of the hour at 703-685-2177. Are you already working on the next one?
Well, I know pretty well what I want to do, and there's a long process to go through. I have to write an outline, and although I have a contract with the publisher, they have the right to, diddle with my outline, which they always do, and I have to work out the details and then start it and then write it, and so we're talking about another year here. And the end of the year gets very long because whatever you may have done, I mean, you've written enough books to know this. Until you write the end, at the end of it, you've got nothing. Even, you know, you can't sell anything until you finish the last page.
Who's your agent?
Huh?
Who's your agent?
ICM, Esther Newberg.
Oh, no, Esther.
Lovely woman.
I use Sterling Lord.
Oh, you do? Sterling was my agent for years and years and years.
I like him. He's not vigorous.
No.
But he has a kind of nice manner.
Yeah.
I think if I were a full-time writer, I don't think I'd use Sterling. I like someone more.
Yeah.
For me, it's fine. You know, I get these. Although I just got a real nice advance to do a book on growing up in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Like Russell Baker did about Baltimore, right? About just what the street was like in the neighborhood.
Well, you got four books already behind you.
Yeah. Yours not a bestseller, is it?
It's not yet. It's only been out 1 month, and the bestseller is 2 weeks behind, as you know. But it's had wonderful sales in Europe. I'm really astonished.
Same cover?
I don't know. I don't know what they'll do. I don't like the cover. It's got two messages. Yeah, it's okay. It's got two messages on it, both of which are, you know, sort of against the female.
Can't read this.
In New York, but I really live mostly in Connecticut, in New Canaan.
East side?
West side, right opposite the Museum of Natural History.
Nice, I like this.
Yeah.
It's really growing, that area.
Uh-huh.
Columbus.
Yeah. Lots of empty stores, you know. These landlords who jack up the rents and force people out that have been there for years, now in our times, in the recession, they're stuck with it. Good.
Damn right. Sitting here all the time, talking and not talking. Does anybody signal me? Are we on a break? Did we take a break? No, we're back. Well, you never signal me back from a break. Are we on? Okay, thanks. Did anyone ever say, here's Larry? Did you hear it, Robert?
No, I did not.
Robert didn't hear it, and I didn't hear it. I'm just talking to the crew. I realized we're on. I looked up. I saw the light. Neither of us ever heard a signal come back, so we have been sitting here. Welcome to the Larry King Show. Our guest is Robert Daly. We're going to pause for news headlines, a word from your local stations, and when we come back, we will take your phone calls. Our numbers are 703-685-2177, and this is semi-hysterical. Yeah, we are on. Thank you. Okay, all I'm telling you is, Mr. Daly and I were sitting here. The last I remember was breaking for commercial, and we never came back. We never came back. So if we came back, we thank you. And if you heard us talking, I don't know what we were talking about, Robert.
We're talking about agents and things like
that. Agents.
And much interest to...
Couldn't have been... If you heard whatever you heard, we didn't curse. The Don and Mike Show.
That night was my son's birthday party. My wife invites the priest. He's always at the house.
Hey, Tony.
I don't.
You like Grandma Glade?
Hey, you bless it, I'll eat it.
She's not coming.
No.
Grandma just called. Started crying and hung up.
She needs a purpose in life.
No, your mother is tougher than you think.
So what, no f***ing ZD now?
Hey!
Squeeze them like toothpaste and brush your teeth with their love. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hey, baby.
Hi, sweetie. Did you just call me? The phone was ringing as I walked.
walked in the door.
Don't call me Sweet Peanut.
Sorry.
You got an image.
Sweet Peanut?
Sweet Peanut. Oh.
Sweet Peanut.
Mm-hmm. All right. Who knows
don't,
what
don't
that
say
means.
That 10 times quick.
Yeah.
Sweet pea.
Sweet peanut.
Sweet peanut, 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 sweet
peanut. See, because the peanut can get messed up a little bit there.
Dag-nabbit.
Yeah, there's the first, that is the first dag-nabbit of the day.
And I'm realizing that dag-nabbit I am using as a crutch when I want to say God damn it.
Oh, really?
Good.
Yes.
Well, during the Christmas season, I think that's appropriate.
I'm trying. And also, I'm realizing I'm saying it all the time.
Dag-nabbit?
Okay. No, I mean, I'm saying the other all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, 'tis the season for that, too.
Sometimes just creeping into everyday conversations. You know, I did call you, but I don't remember what I was calling you about. It was during a commercial break, so it wasn't anything I want to talk to you about on the air. What?
I'm sure it was important, just like all your phone calls are, my baby.
Hey, my phone calls to you are very important.
Yeah, no, but they're usually what are we having for dinner.
Well, what are we having for dinner?
I don't know. I just walked in the door. Do you have a request?
Well, how about shake and bake chicken?
I made you that 2 nights ago.
I love that.
I know, darling, but you got to be brave. Think well, then, be a little bit more creative.
Well, then don't ask me that question because that will always be the answer that I give you.
All right, never
okay?
mind then.
All right.
Okay. Love you.
Love you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. There she is. Very lucky woman.
So I gather from that conversation you will not be enjoying Shake and Bake this evening?
I don't think so. Yeah. You know, listen, I love my wife. I love her more than anything. But man, she's a rotten cook. She can't make stuff good. Uh-huh. And a lot of times, like if she says she's making a stew.
Right.
Oh, you know what it is? It's mainly just like water with peas and little bits of croutons that are getting all smooshed up in there. It's just like...
Not a good savory broth in that
no,
stew?
No, she just gets everything. You know, I'd like to kill the guy that invented the crock pot. Because that's my wife's out most times.
So you throw a piece of meat in there and you throw some vegetables in and then you let you pour water in there and then it stews in its own juices.
Yeah, I know it does and I'm not a fan of it.
You're not a stew lover?
No, I'm not a stew studio man.
In any capacity, if you had like the best do you like the beef stew?
You know, I'm not a fan of beef to your level.
Really?
I don't eat generally hardly any red meat at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fat from all the other stuff I eat.
So stews, though, like a chicken stew lamb stew?
All right, I'll give you a good example.
Like a chicken pot pie. How would
perfect. Hold on. I'm just going to say, perfect example. She says to me the other night, I called her up during a commercial break, like I did there. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, honey, what's for dinner? Mm-hmm. You know. Chicken pot pie. Well, I thought, hey, it's cold and it's rainy outside.
Delicious, hearty comfort food, as they call it. I love that expression, comfort food.
Yeah. Now, listen, when I think of chicken pot pie,
yes.
I think of, like, an apple pie
right?
that's got, like, chicken in it. You know what I mean? Something that's really made to look like an actual pie.
Which is what it is, really.
Mm, not in my house.
Really? She made a homemade chicken pot pie?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and?
So, it's a, hold on. I don't want...
Well, I mean,
I don't want to screw up my whole weekend.
A chicken
before
pot
I tell
pie
you about
is like
this.
The crust is on the top, and then you have the chicken underneath.
I will describe it to you.
Okay.
But first, let me make sure I won't ruin my weekend.
Yeah.
Because then I might have to tell you about it just during the break.
Oh, no.
Hello.
Hey, bud.
Hey, Dad.
How was school today?
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a lot of homework this weekend?
Sort of.
Sort of.
Yeah.
That's a very evasive.
For exams.
That's a very evasive answer that I'm getting a lot these days. Got a lot of homework?
Well.
Yeah, sort of. That means you... Hey, where's Mommy?
Right there.
Thank you.
Mom, for you!
I'll just find out if I can discuss this topic.
All right.
Can I call Jared?
Because things are going so good with me and my wife.
But
that's
you know, that last argument last weekend, notwithstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, honey?
You know, I'll make something that everybody likes for dinner. I'll just make them at reservations. It's fine with me. I don't like to cook.
Do you mind if I talk about that chicken pot pie?
But you have to be fair. Just because you didn't like it, you know.
Hold on.
You don't like your foods to touch.
Wait. It wasn't like made in a pie.
No, my mother told me that, and I made it from leftover turkey.
Hold on.
Right after Thanksgiving, and it was a nice stew.
And hold on. It's in a glass. Not a bowl, but a glass pan.
It's in Pyrex, darling. People cook it.
That can work.
But there was no crust on the bottom.
There was no crust on the bottom.
Well, you got to have crust in a pie.
No, pie, actually, you can put just crust on the top and then have the stew underneath.
Well, then you probably would have liked this ridiculous concoction.
I'm sorry.
Because
I know
what it was. in the Pyrex. Hold on, just let me tell you.
Yes,
okay?
Okay.
You have all of the leavings from Thanksgiving.
It was,
really?
You had all of the...
And all of the good stew.
All the crap that you put in there.
Well, what was it? What specifically, what was in there? Because I really...
Turkey and peas.
And carrots.
And carrots.
Just regular stew stuff.
And but with it, like...
Was there a nice gravy in there, too?
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
Yeah, gravy if you like water.
Oh, really?
I mean,
okay.
It was a large... It was swimming. It was just swimming in water. And on top...
Hold on.
On top, it was like brown and serve rolls that you would put on top of it.
There are biscuits on top.
Okay. Listen.
You didn't like it.
You know what?
It sucked.
I'm glad I don't have to worry about dinner tonight. You just call your best friends at Domino's.
All right.
All right, goodbye.
So, hey.
Oh, dear. See?
Oh, no, dear.
Thanks.
Now. Oh, no.
Thanks, everybody.
Oh, no.
Well, we didn't do anything.
What did we do?
I know.
Now, the only part I agree with you on is if it was a watery gravy.
Uh-huh.
If it wasn't real thick, like stewy stuff, which is... But, I mean, like the biscuits on top of turkey with gravy sounds hearty. Sounds good, Rob.
It wasn't,
Rob,
man.
Rob. See, Rob, I could put that with gravy and you'd eat that.
Shoe. Yeah, I know. Now you just got to make things right at home.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, dear.
What?
Come on. It's a week until Christmas.
Yeah.
That's why I called to say, do you mind if I talk about the chicken pot pie?
Do I mind if you talk about it, and do I mind if you insult me and lie about it are two different questions.
All right. Then how did I lie about it?
It wasn't in water. And you complain if I make stew too thick, because then it's not, you know, you complain either way.
Honey, you've never made a thick stew in your life. You've never made a thick stew in your life.
That's baloney. I make stews, and really the way I'd rather have a soup is soup you could eat with a fork, you know, that kind of soup. I like it thick.
Don't believe her. Listen. I love you. You're the greatest.
You are. You're such a fabricator because I just don't like your foods to touch. Period.
No. Listen, I like a nice chicken. I like a nice chicken pot pie when it's prepared correctly.
Then pick up a hungry man on the way home.
Hey, listen. That's what I think a chicken pot pie should look like, and the texture it should have when you eat it.
And that
it should be. It should not be wet. It should be flaky.
All right. Good.
It should be flaky. The palate.
Good. Then
hey, you like that big word?
Yeah.
I mean, like flaky on your tongue.
Flaky to the palate.
Bart
to the
and
palate.
I loved it. Bart asked for seconds.
Well,
you know.
He will eat anything you put in front of him.
That's not true. That's not true. All right. Very well, pick up whatever you like, my darling. No problem.
All right. I love you.
Cooking anyway. Good
what?
Time.
Hey.
I hate cooking.
I know.
So we
come on, let's not let this ruin everything.
It hasn't ruined. It's going to make everything better.
Right.
I'm not going to cook anymore, and I'll be happier.
Okay.
And you'll be eating TV dinners, and you'll be happier. And they're already coming in the little divider plates that you like.
You can mock me because I don't like my food section. I'm telling you this. I never made any chicken pot pie underwater.
What have you made?
What have I made?
Yeah.
Look at that house that you're living in.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I made.
Your own two hands, didn't
you? That's right. And speaking of building something with your own two
hands. Carved it out of the forest.
Talk about building something with your own two hands.
Yes.
Hey, honey.
Yeah.
Have you got a look at that treehouse that we put together a couple of years ago?
No.
Oh, my God. I looked out in the backyard today.
Is it hanging in there?
But the walls are falling off it.
No.
And the roof is falling off. And I said something to Bart about it. I said, what's wrong with that treehouse? I said, Dad, falling apart.
I'm looking at it now.
Maybe you didn't use the pressure-treated lumber.
Well.
I don't think so.
You keep this up. You could be looking at your new bedroom.
All right. I love you, honey.
I love you, too.
I love you.
Goodbye.
I don't love you for your cooking, though.
Yeah, obviously.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye, sweetheart. Bye-bye.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
All right.
So, well, anyway.
That was... I hate to say that. I mean, I know, but it was highly entertaining, man.
Yeah. Well, no, it's all right. Yeah. She's not mad.
You know,
it's okay.
I think she's fine with that. And
I just hate it when we have something on the air and when I go home and it continues when we're not on the air.
You know, you've had food discussions with your wife before, and sometimes what you describe, at least at a certain point, sounds appealing to me. It sounds like the kind of food that I would actually enjoy.
Hey,
and I'd love. Sometimes we
didn't
do
we?
Things.
Hold on. We already went through this.
What?
Didn't we go through this 2 or 3 years ago?
Yes.
When we complained, I complained about the food, and she brought some in a Tupperware thing for you to eat. Didn't we already do this?
I don't know.
I think we did.
I don't remember sampling anything.
I think we did.
Maybe I didn't bring it home. I'm not sure, but see, that pot pie, no, you know, she never did bring anything in. She's never brought anything in.
I think she did.
We talked about doing it.
I think she actually sent something in. Or maybe I was too embarrassed to bring it in.
I think it was a soup of some kind
that I said sounded really, really good.
Yeah.
And like this pot pie, typical.
Hey, honey?
You know, the weak link on that, again, my darling, was you. Because I put it in the Tupperware, I gave it to you, and you never gave it to him.
All right, I thought so. I just said I thought it might have been too embarrassed to bring it in. But what was it, though, honey? Was it soup or what?
No, it was like a sewer soup. I got to get my other line. Somebody likes my cooking stone. Goodbye.
Sewer soup.
That's what it was.
But, you know, next time you have a big one like that, really, before you even talk about it on the air, just bring in a little sample, and I will give you my honest opinion. I swear to God. But don't do anything to it.
Listen, I won't.
You know, don't do it just to, you know.
I've had plenty of chances to do something to your food
over the years. Yeah, believe me, I've been aware a lot of it.
Okay.
I ate it anyway, though.
Hello. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don.
Hello, ma'am.
Hi.
Hello, lady.
I just want to make a complaint. I don't think that's very nice of you to criticize your wife's cooking.
Why? She criticizes everything that I don't do well.
But you're doing it on the air.
Right.
That's not very fair because you shouldn't...
Well, then my wife should have married a guy who, is a dry cleaner or something. Right?
Well, I'm sure her chicken pot pie was very good.
No, it sucks. It's very watery. Listen.
I'll be the judge of that.
Don't take it so personally. My wife's a wonderful woman. She's a wonderful wife. She's my best friend. Blah, blah, blah. She sucks as a cook. She knows
it. You should start cooking.
I'm very busy.
What?
I'm very busy watching television.
Have you ever tried? Have you ever popped into the kitchen and maybe tried your hand at it without any recipe books or
I'll
anything
tell you
like
exactly
that?
Why I'm not a good guy for that.
Okay.
Because I'm really one of those guys that if the recipe says 3 hours at 400 degrees,
yeah.
I really, when I noodle it through, and I'm just like a 10-year-old, I go,
right.
Why couldn't you just turn it up to like 800 degrees and cook it for an hour?
Uh-huh.
I don't have the patience to go back and check on it. And
you don't need patience to be a cook. You can cook stuff without having a lot of pay. I'm not trying to sell you on it, but I will just tell you that you would be a good chef to like work off with it, with just improvise and throw everything in a pot and then see how it comes out.
Oh, never. I would never.
That's the way I cook.
But you know me, I would never throw a bunch of stuff in a pot together. That's gross.
You know that barbecued shrimp stuff we had down in New Orleans?
Uh-huh.
I make that. I make that myself, and it comes out great. And I don't look at a recipe book. I just throw it all together.
Good for you. I'm happy for it. I really am.
It's very relaxing. It's very stress reducing
for you
to cook.
For you,
for a lot of people,
but not for me.
Okay.
Hello.
Just a suggestion that someday when you have like a block of time, maybe you just wander into the kitchen. You get out a few things, like you get the raw materials that you like.
I hate getting my hands dirty. I hate getting that egg yolky crap all over my hands. And you got the goo going everywhere. No, forget it.
Okay.
Forget about it.
Just a suggestion.
Hello.
Hi. Well, this is me, so I just want to let you know.
Okay. All right, I thought it was another caller. I thought magically the caller would have changed.
Well, one more thing. Before you criticize, you should try your hand at it, and then you'll be able to.
I didn't know. That wasn't my point at all. I wasn't saying that. I do not.
Well, I don't
line up with this woman at all.
I know.
Listen, who cares what you say? My wife's not a great cook.
Well, there are plenty of recipes that you don't have to get your hands dirty. It's just the dump method. Just dump everything in and then just...
Well, you got to have a happy man in your house, then. I bet your husband is real skinny.
Actually, no. He loves my cooking.
Well, good for him.
All right. Well,
good for him.
Happy holiday.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
Yes, goodbye.
I bet you cook. I do. I love to cook. I find it very relaxing.
You might cook in a nude.
No.
Big chef hat.
Cooks on his boat while he's staring at.
Hello.
Not sanitary.
Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don. I got a...
Chef Buzz. Hello.
Frida and my wife, I think, are separated at birth because my wife's a wonderful woman, but she can't cook worth a damn.
Uh-huh.
Quick question, and we could even put this towards Mike and Buzz.
How about it?
I've given 2 50-yard line seats to this Sunday's Ravens game. My wife tells me today that there's a family birthday party on Sunday. What would you do, being a football fan?
Well, listen, you're going to lose the argument because the Ravens suck.
Well,
there is no importance to the game at all.
It's the final game of Memorial Stadium, and even though
they
suck, they're free 50-yard lines.
You know, maybe you got a point there. That is the last game played at Memorial Stadium.
And the old Colts are going to be there. Johnny Unitas is going to be there.
A lot of people, even though it's the Ravens and they suck this year, it's still NFL football, and, you know, that's tough to get. Who's the family member?
It's my brother-in-law. He turned 21. And
forget that.
Oh, he's an adult.
Listen,
he's a grown man. He won't care.
Forget that.
And it's the Christmas season. I don't want to cause any trouble in the family.
Go ahead. I'll write you a note.
Okay, well...
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a free. Bye-bye. That's get out of jail free.
I think so.
He's 21.
Yeah, come on. What's he going to do, cry?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
My brother-in-law's not here.
Take him out. Buy him a nice night.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Kind of night that a 21-year-old man likes.
That's right.
You know what we mean.
That's right.
Kind of night that'll make you feel younger, too.
Go out. Mm-hmm. Buy him a nice woman. Hello.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Don and Mike show. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you, too.
Hello.
Today is Bob Barker's birthday. Today is Frank Sinatra's birthday. And today is also my birthday.
Happy birthday. And listen, how come Bob Barker's birthday is not getting nearly the publicity that Frank Sinatra's birthday is getting?
It's an injustice because, really, I consider Bob Barker to be the greatest entertainer that's ever lived.
And how come everybody is trying to hide Frank Sinatra from us?
Mm-hmm.
How come everybody... Listen, I know he's getting feed out.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know, why do I have to read in the paper that he's doing well and he's going to be enjoying 8 different birthday cakes tonight? And
Tony Bennett went to his house and said he looks better than Donald Trump. Hey!
Yeah, right.
Hey, Frank!
How about the truth?
Yeah.
Mr. Sinatra's spokesperson says Frank spent the morning drooling.
I mean, we just like a little honesty.
That he had a nice BM. Spent the afternoon watching his favorite soap operas.
Go, baby!
Did a little more drooling.
Yeah, baby, drool. Drooling for you. Yeah, baby, drool.
Well, listen, happy birthday.
I don't get my spankings.
Oh, you want to be spanked too?
Well, I was hoping Buzz would help too.
Mm.
Oh.
Really?
Mm. Yes.
Well,
are you taking a shine to Buzz, are you?
Well, I've taken a shine to all three of you.
Mm.
But would Buzz be your favorite?
Well, if I was trapped on a desert island and I had to eat one of you first, probably I would go with Buzz.
You would eat Buzz? Well, go ahead, Buzz. You can spank her all by yourself, then, being as she would eat you on a desert island.
And how old is m'lady today?
I'm
37
today.
37 today. Okay.
How old is m'lady?
That's a lot of spanks. You ready?
I'm ready, Buzz.
Barehanded method. You're poised over the chair, right?
Yeah. Under's down, poised over the chair.
Okay. Here we go. One.
Ow.
Two.
Oh.
Three.
Oh,
four.
God.
Five.
Oh.
Six.
Oh.
Seven.
Oh.
Eight.
Yeah.
Nine.
Oh.
Rhythmic.
Ten.
Baby. Oh. 11.
Yeah. Harder.
12.
Oh.
13.
Yeah. Oh,
14.
Wow.
15.
Oh.
16.
Yeah. Oh.
17.
Finally.
18.
Oh.
19. 20.
Oh.
21.
Oh.
2.
Oh.
23.
Ooh.
24. Oh. 5.
6.
27, 28, 29, my hands are tired, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37.
Wow. Yeah.
Buzz, Buzz. Happy birthday.
Just
happy
glad birthday. About as old as Frank Sinatra, Buzz.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
Thank you.
There
Bye-bye.
Goes m'lady.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show, Don and Mike Show, Don and Mike Show. On 11, Don and Mike Show, on 11. Don and Mike Show, Don and Mike Show, on 11, on up 3. Don and then, Where is Jaka? Where is Jaka? Where is Jaka? Dormey do. Where is Alpha? Where is Alpha? Dun. Where is Don? Where is Don? Here I am. Where is Ron? Where is Ron? Oh, my dude, oh, my dude. Where is Mike? Where is Mike? Here I am. Where is Don? Where is Mike? Here we are, the Don and Mike Show. Where is Lisa? Where is Lisa? Where is Jeff? Where is Jeff? Here we are. This is of the Don and Mike Show. The Don and Mike Show. Here we are. Where is Buzz? Where is Buzz? Here I am. Where is Charlie? Where is Charlie? Charlie Boyer. Where is Robbie? Where is Robbie? Here I am. Throw me with it. The Don and Mike Show on WJFK 106.7, 11 to 3.
The Don and Mike Show. Mike Korn. Enjoy it a second time. Second time. The best of Don and Mike.
Time was drifting.
Okay, the Elton John thing. Yes, the
little, it was a rockumentary type thing.
Like a behind the scenes thing with a lot of home movies that were taken by Elton's boyfriend.
Yes.
And this is real funny. He's going through all the stuff in his closet.
Ah.
And he's got a tiara, you know, like the kind that...
You know, the closet scene was the most amazing because...
The kind that Barbie would wear.
He's talking about going on holiday, and they take him... And he, so he's on vacation. That's what they, you know, those people over there call holiday.
Right.
And he takes the...
Damn Brits.
His boyfriend into the closet, and I said, man, this is for a vacation, and I have never seen a man's closet with this much stuff. He has one wall that is just filled with suits. The other wall is filled with shirts, and then he's got another wall filled with pants. He's got more shoes than I've ever seen. And then they go into
this
drawer.
He's on a holiday, man.
He goes into this drawer, and he has drawer after drawer after drawer just with sunglasses.
My glasses.
Wow. And all divided into the different frames. And it was very cool because, I mean, you've never heard that about Elton John.
And all prescription.
Oh, they were. That's what he said. They're all prescription sunglasses.
Now, here's at the end of his tour of his closet. Where he comes and he tells you that he's got not one but two little tiaras.
Yeah, they showed him.
Elton John.
Now you enter the world of my closet. These are suits.
Yep.
Here. These are all silk shirts.
This was a great show.
Shoes, of course. All these are different kind of glasses. They're sunglasses.
Uh-huh. Here we go.
These are clear frames.
Yeah.
These are pink, blue.
Drawer after drawer.
And purple frames. More sunglasses. All prescription, of course. Silver and gold and black frames.
It's amazing.
It's the first time Elton John's gone in the closet.
Frames.
It's probably coming out.
And over here. Very important for anybody traveling on the road is two tiaras because you never know when you're going to get invited to something really formal. So it has been worn on more than one occasion.
Okay, he's got two tiaras.
Listen, I admire the fact that he was so open. This is
great.
Not a real flattering look at Elton John in a lot of ways. So there's one part during the show that we noticed, and we did not doctor this tape.
Right
now you can. You can talk to tapes.
You have to listen to this tape very carefully.
I think you'll be able to pick it up. Here you go. It's 17 seconds long. I'll hip you to what to listen for.
Okay.
I'll hip you, cats.
It comes at the end of the tape, right?
Yes, right in the last 2 or 3 seconds. Listen, and you tell me if Elton John farted or not.
Okay.
We did not add one of our sound effects. Here is Elton John.
It's hard to start loving yourself. All this bit about you've got to love yourself, you've got to love yourself. You are, you know, I know that, but it doesn't happen overnight. It's 43 years' behavior. It's not going to change overnight. It's certainly not going to happen in 5 years. If it did, it would be miraculous.
Did you pick it up?
I did.
Yeah.
You did? Yes, I did.
I'll play it again. It sure does sound like a real one. You know
it
what
does.
I mean?
It, and it could have come from Elton or the photographer. It's hard to tell.
Now, we went back and looked at the tape,
mm-hmm.
and Elton doesn't make any facial expression.
Doesn't, lift his right cheek up or anything
to
like
indicate,
that?
You know, that he's let a stinker.
Okay.
But on the other hand, he doesn't say anything
right.
to his boyfriend, like, hey, you just cut the cheese.
Right. Let's hear it, though. I didn't notice this last night.
It's hard.
And now we can go past all this stuff.
To start loving yourself. All this.
This is just blah, blah, blah. Rock star stuff. Now, listen careful. It's right in the last 3 seconds.
Overnight. It's 40.
Sounds like a bubbler.
Change overnight. It's certainly not going to happen in 5 years. If it did, it would be miraculous.
Did you pick it up?
Yeah.
Did you pick it up?
That's amazing.
We didn't add it. We didn't add it.
This is right off the tape. Wow. This is right off the rockumentary.
Okay, one more time.
Yeah, we got to hear it one more time.
Just one more time.
Because if you listen, it really does. It doesn't sound like, you know, there are lots of things that can make that sound.
I'm going to guess it was from Elton.
But it doesn't happen overnight.
From the ruffled sound.
His behavior is not going to change overnight.
Here it is.
It's not going to happen in 5 years. If it did, it would be miraculous.
We like to consider ourselves experts on that sound.
One thing we do know about. My guess, Mike, and boy, we should get a TV show where we would be like not coroners and not medical examiners, but fart experts. Right after our In Pursuit show,
right after Sunday, right after In Pursuit, it's Farts Are Analyzed.
Sounded to me like that came from him because it was rather muffled.
It was very muffled, and perhaps it was one of the ones that, you know, the worst kind, the kind we don't expect.
And,
you know, the kind we don't prepare for.
The guy who was running the camera was standing up.
Right.
Therefore, he had more of a free shot, if
was
you
he on
understand.
A sofa? He was on a sofa?
Yes.
Or was he in a...
He was like on a love seat.
A love seat.
Like sitting on the edge of a love seat. Or no, Rob?
No, it was. It was sitting down on a sofa, but I couldn't determine if it was a leather couch or a fabric couch, which is a factor.
And also, you have to take into account, if we're going to be overanalyzing this, which we are, you have to take into account the firmness of the fabric. You know, absolutely, whether it's one of the tight weaves.
I think it was corduroy pants. Well, that's what it looked like to me. He's got a crazy closet, man, like almost like clown clothes, like I saw at that Clyde Brother Cole whatever it is circus.
Clyde Beatty Cole Brother Circus.
Big checkered sports coats.
Yeah. And this closet was just amazing when he had walls of these suits.
Oh, and about our show In Pursuit, our show that we hope to have someday in development at some network. We hope maybe like Fox because they're so desperate.
Sure.
I saw a good one today on the Los Angeles station.
A morning one, huh?
At about 10:30 this morning, wow, which means like 7:30 on the West Coast, a guy was in a Winnebago, and he was driving on a freeway in Southern California, and he stopped his car in the middle of the road, but he did it vertically. You know what I mean?
Oh, really? Yeah, so he's blocking the intersection.
So he was blocking all the traffic. Now, the cops didn't know what to do. The guy was sitting there for a while, and of course, all the helicopters are now watching this. The guy puts up a TV antenna.
There you go.
He pops like a little camper, a window on top of the Winnebago, and puts up a TV antenna.
Sure.
Now what they think is, the guy then for the next 2 hours is watching himself on every channel.
He's just enjoying the view and also being able to monitor what the police are doing.
Right. Now, I don't know how this episode of In Pursuit ended. The last I checked, they were about to get him with canisters of like gas.
Yes, tear gas. Throw tear gas in there.
They did storm the trailer, and once they got inside, he was dead. He was already dead.
Oh, well, it would be a happy ending of In Pursuit.
We're In Pursuit.
So he actually was watching himself on TV, and then when he got bored,
he blew his brains out. Oh, I wanted to do that many times after watching a bad show. Got some guys who want to analyze that.
Okay.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don, Mike.
Yeah. Hi.
Buzz. Love you, Buzz.
I love you, sir.
Thank you.
Look at Buzz shake his head.
I love it when Buzz reads Buzz. Buzz Burbank.
Usually, I don't wear underwear just in honor of Buzz.
Well, that's terrific.
That's my problem. Okay.
Really?
So I have a theory.
Really? Yes.
I have a theory on this fart problem with Elton John.
Listen, I'd like to first off say I don't consider it to be a problem.
It's perfectly normal. As a matter of fact, it's cherished on this program.
It's a riddle.
The problem is who made the noise.
Right. That's the riddle.
And it would be impossible for Elton John or his boyfriend to make this noise. Their fart would sound something like...
Oh, dear.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Oh, my.
I don't get that joke, man.
That sailed completely over my head.
Hello?
Hello, Don and Mike.
Somebody write me a transcript of why that's funny.
I don't get it. Everybody around us seems to be laughing uproariously, and I didn't get it.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Is this me?
Yeah, hi.
Well, I sort of had the same evaluation of that. It wouldn't have made a sound whatsoever.
The homophobes are calling, Don.
Hey,
absolutely,
hey, listen,
coming out of the woodwork right now.
I heard Elton on a talk show. I was up in Connecticut about a year ago, and he was on a talk show.
You know, I thought we were going to get some serious, serious evaluation of this.
This is serious news to us.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys are the fart experts. How can it be news to you guys?
Well, that's because this is important. When a fart is delivered across the airwaves and it's not...
to be analyzed and there's no way of identifying who it came from.
You know, they had all sorts of little graphics underneath the screen. Like when he would open his tour, they would have the little graphic. And what they should have done is that Elton just farted.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I want to talk to Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi. Now, listen, would they have put that on closed captioning for someone who is deaf?
or pop-up video?
Yeah, would they put Elton farted here?
Uh-huh. I wish they would.
And what would the icon be that they used? Because I know that...
You know, I don't think it was closed captions because at one point I put the TV on mute.
Yeah.
And I was going to see... It was right in the middle of one of his rants, and there was no closed captioning.
Maybe they would, like, draw a little picture of, like, a dog poop or something.
With, like, this
with the
squiggly steam coming out of it.
Yeah. Hello. Hi. Are you there?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Susan. I just wanted to say that I agreed with the two guys about them being gay, and that's probably why it didn't make any noise.
Well, is everybody going to call with that same joke now? And listen, not that I'm an expert on this, but I would think...
Maybe that it
made noise even though they were sitting on a cloth couch.
No,
Maybe it made noise because of that.
I think that gay guys can fart.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Enough of those jokes, please. They didn't really sail over our heads. We understood it the first time.
Duh. Hello.
Mike.
But love, I get it. Hello.
Yeah, Bob.
I mean, I don't get it.
Right.
You know,
hey,
I said that a lot the last couple of days. I just don't get it, man. Hello.
Yeah. Hey, you guys see Fran Drescher last night on TV again whining?
Mm. Now, listen, all those celebrities, I'm telling you, there's going to be some type of backlash there. Once people stop feeling bad about Princess Di, once the funeral is held on Saturday, I promise I will keep this brief, people will soon burn out because what they don't, everybody forgets right now, these celebrities, that's the price, that's part of the price of having a beautiful car and a beautiful house and servants and places all over the world.
And adulation, I mean, in many cases, for these movie stars, when you see these movie stars and they go to the premieres, a lot of the celebrities, they seem to like it, they seem to enjoy that.
And what I'm noticing is a bunch of what I would rate as mid-level celebrities.
Right.
You know, the guys like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Tom Cruise, those are the guys who I think, if I was going to give them the benefit of the doubt, I think those are the guys who are probably being chased.
Right. Sure.
I don't think there's like 15 paparazzi chasing Whoopi Goldberg down the street.
I doubt it sincerely.
You know what I mean?
She was making it sound like they were mobbing her when she got off the plane one day.
You know, she strikes me as one of those types that gets off an airplane. Like that time, hey, thank you for the call. When I was somewhere and we saw William Shatner, I know it was when we were out in Colorado a couple of years ago, and William Shatner walked into this restaurant and positioned himself at a table in a corner, but had his back to the wall so he could see everybody that came in. And you know he was making eye contact with people.
Sure, he wanted to be seen.
Yeah, hey, look at me. I'm Kirk, man.
You know, part of celebrity, really. And as far as, and I'm going to talk about movie stars here because I don't want to talk about Princess Di. We'll talk about movie stars is they want to be seen. That's part of the deal. That's part of the equation. I mean, exposure is the whole thing.
What they want, really, is the best of both worlds. They want to
can't have it.
They want to control it now. They all have publicists. Mm-hmm. They all try to get their picture in the paper. They just wanted to be pictures where it's controlled,
right.
And all I'm saying is that once everybody wakes up from the grieving about Princess Di, you're going to say, wait a minute, you know, who's really chasing George Clooney all over the place for his picture? And if you don't like it, George Clooney, why don't you try to get a job in the real world with the rest of us?
And unfortunately, and I'm going to say that there's been so many people that are slamming these tabloids for printing these pictures, but people, really, in the public, we have become a little bit more savvy of the PR machine, and I think there's more of a desire on the part of the public to see the pictures that the celebrities don't necessarily want you to see.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just human nature.
Hello? Hello? Listen, it's the price to pay. I mean this, really I do, and I think most people, if you could get away from the Princess Di aspect, would feel the same way. If someone said to you, you could be a movie star, and you could have yachts and cars and beautiful things and have everybody love you, and everywhere you go, never have to worry about a financial worry for the rest of your life, but the price you're going to pay is that people are going to follow you around and take your picture. Most people would say, okay.
I agree.
That's a cool thing. You're talking about gazillionaires here.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, I promise we would not stick on that topic, and we will not. Maybe.
No,
it was just a downer yesterday. Man, I was exhausted when I got home last night from the show.
And, you know, I think really that some of these celebrities, and you're talking about the B-level celebrities, are in their own way.
And the nanny is a good example of that.
Yeah, they're taking advantage of the of the death of Princess Di to toot their own horn about this, and I don't think it's very becoming.
Hello.
Hello,
you're on the air.
I'm on the air?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think Jimmy is even more queer than Elton John could ever be.
Was that based on Jimmy's inability to close the deal yesterday?
Jimmy is still reeling. I said, Jimmy, I think you might have a chance with her. And Jimmy's...
He's very down.
He's very down about it.
He's a shadow of himself today. Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, guys.
Hi.
Both of y'all are old enough to know that Jimmy doesn't stand an Ice Cube's chance in hell that the girl's just yanking him. But anyway, hold on.
What do you mean we're too? What do you mean we're too old? You mean we've been out of the circulation too long, or what?
I think I have.
You've been around the block one or two times, and you've seen how these cute girls learn over time how to yank guys around to get whatever they want.
I've seen how it works.
And you've seen it too, Mike.
Yeah, I've seen it too. I feel for Jimmy, though. I'm rooting for Jimmy. I'm in Jimmy's corner on this one.
I'm rooting for him, too, because he's the guy that answers the phone, and when he's having a bad day...
He's having a bad day today, right?
Have a bad day.
Yeah. Well, I think he's maybe having a bad day, because I think he's still getting some of those residual hate calls from yesterday.
Yeah, Jimmy doesn't seem really on top of the world today.
Two quick things.
Yes.
First off, I do believe that the fart came from the photographer.
Oh.
Because Elton John speaks very softly, and you could pick up everything that he says, which means that the microphone was pointed in his direction, whereas the photographer's would have been away from him.
I would like to point out to you, sir, that the origin of the sound was not necessarily coming from the where Elton was speaking.
It was muffled.
But what I'm saying is that as soft as he talked, the sound of it was very, very faint.
Yes, but, sir, it's a directional microphone. And it would pick up anything in that direction.
Right.
I doubt it would pick up anything behind the camera.
I agree. I agree with Robin. Those condenser microphones.
I just love the fact that we're really analyzing this.
Yeah, I really, that's a good point, though. The condenser microphones wouldn't, if it came from the photographer, you wouldn't hear it unless
very
it was incredibly loud.
Well, it's not a loud, it doesn't have the timbre of a loud one.
Timbre.
I bet his really stink, too, because he's totally undisciplined, Elton John, like with his diet and stuff,
right?
Being a guy, it's very hard to do it sitting down without raising something up.
You know, and also, if he is sitting... I want to go back and look at the tape.
Are you talking about being aroused?
Sitting down.
No.
What are you talking about?
When you rip one, you usually lift up a cheek.
There's some kind of movement if it's one like that.
To your muscle, to let it relax.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I must have a very advanced sphincter structure, then.
Well, you and I have been practicing for years.
Our butts are about as worn out as Elton John's. For different reasons, though.
You know, I think if you're going to analyze this, you have to... You have to think about the type of cushion that he was sitting on. That is the key. I'd like to see the sofa.
How'd you like to come back and be that cushion in another life?
And as far as celebrities go,
what?
I put that in the category of too much of a blessing is a sin. Everyone wants rain, but you don't want it to rain 24 hours a day. So if every time you went to cut your toenails and throw them over the headboard, there was somebody there with a photographer, regardless of your money, you say, stop, leave me alone.
Yeah, but the trade-off...
Not me, man. My wife found my toenails behind our headboard once we moved, and she called the show and proudly told Mike all about it.
I heard it. Get a run, guys.
All right. Bye, buddy.
Bye.
Thanks. We were totally on his agenda. You aware of that?
Hello, Don and Mike show. He was like a professional caller.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hello, buddy.
Earlier you were running that cart with the flatulation...
Elton John, yes.
Yeah, representing Elton. Now, I've told from some people that I am acquainted with that are gay that if they're together in a party and they hear a nice raspy flatulation,
I'm not going to let any more of these.
This is homophobe central here, man. Unbelievable.
I'm not setting this segment up so guys can call in and make jokes about Elton John's butt. Seriously, listen.
Right.
I seriously thought that we had a bit of tape that we could analyze.
Absolutely.
We really thought that we had a tape of Elton John. Can't we take this subject just a little more seriously,
and
ladies
and gentlemen?
Can't
we take it, really, in this case, we'd like to take it to a higher level. We are simply analyzing the sound.
Hello?
Hello?
Trying to decide where it came from. Which guy? Hello?
Oh, hello, hello.
Hi.
South Park.
What?
Have they talked about South Park?
Oh, no, you mean that cartoon?
Yeah.
No, listen, we're trying to stick with Elton John's farts.
Oh, okay.
Very, very difficult to keep the audience on issue today.
Hello. You said issue. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don and Mike?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, this is Jim in Austin, Texas. Just wanted to help your analysis, and pitch is very important.
The pitch?
And that can help you decide... whether or not the comment like Don and Mike are gay is
what the hell are you talking? What are you talking about?
We're trying to talk about the pitch of Elton John's fart, but you're talking about the tape that says Don and Mike are gay. What does one have to do with the other?
Equating it as to how that tape came about to begin with.
Because
with Hank Kingsley's comment.
Right, because Hank Kingsley said Elton John is a gay, but what does that have to do with the tape we're playing of Elton John's gas?
Well, pitch might have something to do with sphincter usage, is my...
Well, is this another guy now with this? Come on.
Unbelievable.
Fellas, please.
Try to keep the homophobia down to a dull roar, please.
Come on. I mean, the first guy, all right, I laughed. And then after that, with the second guy, but enough.
Stop it.
Enough.
Okay, Don, can I ask you a question about your eating habits?
About what does my eating habits have to do with
it? Well, how you don't like food to touch?
Yes.
See, well, that's an issue. I said issue.
It's an issue, yes.
Well, I was just curious. My girlfriend is very similar to that, and she even goes so far when she has runny things like spinach to take a napkin and make a little dam around it so it doesn't leak.
No, see, I wouldn't do that because I wouldn't want the paper touching the food.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, it doesn't. It just doesn't allow the liquid to go.
I don't know, sir.
Okay. Well, that's all I needed. Thanks, Radio God.
And thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
Listen, what our audience has just told us, Mike, is
yes.
We cannot have a serious discussion on this show
about a fart.
At least if it comes from a gay guy.
Right. I mean, so, that could be any celebrity. It would be even funnier with lots of other celebrities. But with Elton, because it was real, and we thought, you know, this is on this tape, we thought we would analyze it, but people just can't get around the central issue.
Hello, Don, Mike Show.
Hi, this is Pete from Sacramento.
And then the guy wanted to go right from that to a serious discussion about how I don't like my food touching.
Yeah, we're yelling at him, and then he's going, yeah, incidentally.
Hello, but I'm so self-absorbed, I went to it right away. Yes, if it involves me, I'll leave you on the phone no matter what. Hideous remark you may have made 5 seconds earlier.
Stay on the line,
you
sir.
You want to talk about me and my crazy habits? Hello?
Hi, Steve from Sacramento.
Yes, Steve, hello.
Listen, I wanted to weigh in on the Elton John thing. I'm pretty sure it was his, and the evidence I have is I've spent some time overseas, and Euros aren't real queasy about that. We go out to a real elegant dinner, and the guy let one rip right at the table, and wouldn't even bring
it. Now, to me, that's an interesting perspective.
Here's a man who's telling it the way that he thinks it is.
Wouldn't even break stride.
Granted, we are.
Wouldn't goof on it, wouldn't do anything. Three or four times during the dinner, wouldn't matter.
Okay, we are moving from one stereotype to another, but it doesn't matter. It is a fresh stereotype, and
sure.
Now he's bringing the entire Europeans
are dirty. Right. Europeans.
They're comfortable with that, and I want to say hi to Buzz.
All right, go ahead.
How you doing, Buzz?
Hi, fine, thank you.
Hi, love your segments. I think you deserve more time.
I get plenty, thanks.
Okay. Thanks, I just thought I'd just...
Hey, you know what, as a matter of fact, I'll give Buzz a second here. Go ahead, Buzz. Take it away.
With what?
What? I'm just kidding, Buzz. I just goofing with you.
All right, well, thanks, Don. I like the show.
All right, jeez.
Join Buzz's fan club, man.
That's an interesting perspective. Now, I'm not sure. I haven't spent any time in Europe, so I'm not sure whether the attitude in Europe is occasionally, if one leaves, that you don't even blink, you don't even, you know, who knows whether that's true or not.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I still think Jimmy's really queer.
All right. Thank you.
And that's a 14-year-old that was calling Jimmy.
Okay.
Angry 14-year-old that Jimmy doesn't let get through.
All right, well, I guess we can't have that fun anymore.
Yeah.
Elton John. We'll analyze that tape on another show.
You're having to discipline the entire class.
I hate that when you make me do that, folks.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
In 1898, Spain owned Cuba outright. Think about it. Cuba owned by a disorganized parliament over 4,000 miles away. Cubans were in a constant state of revolt. In 1904, the United States decided to throw a little weight around and, who is it?
The pizza guy.
Again?
Mr. Pizza Guy, sir.
Pour the double cheese and sausage. Oh, here it is. Am I hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Mr. Spicoli, you're on dangerous ground here. You're causing a major disturbance on my time.
You know, I've been thinking about this, Mr. Hand. If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time? We certainly did nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
You're absolutely right, Mr. Spicoli. It is our time. Yours, mine, and everyone else's in this room. But it is my class. Hamilton, Brandt, Kornfeld, up front. Mr. Spicoli has been kind enough to bring us a snack. And be my guest. Help yourselves. Get a good one.
The Don and Mike Show.
ABBA gives me an erection.
Casting from between two pillows, The Don and Mike Show.
Hello,
Don and
Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, when's Don and Mike come to South Carolina?
I have no idea when they're coming there.
858 Club. We'd love to have you.
The 858 Club, is that a nudie bar?
No, it's a comedy club.
A comedy club.
Comedy club. Well, all the comedy clubs that we go to are either the Funny Bone, the Giggle Factory.
The Ding-a-ling,
that's a big one.
Banana Peel.
And the phone numbers are always... 555 ha ha, or 1-800 Tee-hee. I always have to have funny phone numbers.
Pretty funny, isn't it, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I wanted to see if the CD was still available. I'd like to buy that.
Buy what CD, sir?
The game CD.
CD-ROM from years ago.
Our CD-ROM?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is everybody calling the show today in some kind of a time warp? It's not available now, no.
No.
Right.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Bye.
Yeah, but enjoy the rest of your canoe trip in the Bermuda Triangle.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. Hello. You are on the air. Oh, that's an awful car phone. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hello.
All right, listen. I don't need this, okay?
That's right.
I got plenty of crap I can talk about on my own. Okay?
What was he trying to say?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
And then someone who was having another conversation when we picked up the phone.
Hello?
Hi.
I think she was talking to Cannon or somebody.
I was, actually.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Hey, have you heard Cannon's voice?
Have I ever?
No, I'm talking to Mike right now.
No?
Oh.
Come here, Cannon.
A little jet lag catch up with him?
It's allergies, I think.
Oh.
Listen to how different his voice is. Hey, Cannon.
Hi, Cannon.
How you
doing?
What's
up, fellas?
When, Cannon?
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Oh, wow. Talk right into the microphone.
What's up, fellas?
Man, now you sound... God. Now you got a voice...
Voice box.
But it matches your body now.
Yeah. You got some pipes now.
Man, listen to you.
Yeah.
What happened to your voice, man?
I don't know. I woke up. It's doing some crazy stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you think maybe it's just super, super, super late your voice might be changing?
Yeah. Possibly. I just, tell Craig Klein to watch out.
Yeah.
It will be muddy.
Has Jethro called back today at all?
No. He was really upset about it. I don't know.
What? Your friend, Jethro.
You know, he was the biggest star that's ever cussed me out. it was pretty funny. So.
All right.
See you guys.
Get out of here. Bye, Kevin.
Bye.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hi. What did you want to talk about?
Well, I had a medical story for you that involves a vibrator.
Let me think about that. How long will it take you to tell the story?
About 2 minutes. No, not literally. 2 seconds.
I don't know. It's been a shaky show thus far.
Okay.
I gotta be honest with you.
Okay.
Gotta be careful with those shaky shows. You know, they can get too shaky.
Well,
you think it's worth it?
I gotta think it's funny. It involves a couple rather than just an individual with a vibrator. So
when you say kind of think it's funny,
I'll explain something to you. All those stories that we had from the medical journal,
uh-huh.
Those were all real funny stories.
This is right up there. I think it might be. It had to be there, but I'm not sure.
I'm going to pass on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, though.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Call when there's a solid show under our feet.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Today we just can't take the chance.
You did
Absolutely.
With that joke what Mike did at the intersection today. You stopped short and
yeah,
it was a good
That's right.
Yeah, you used a little intuition.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, Cannon sounds like Putty.
Putty from Jerry Seinfeld?
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
I'm at work. I got to go.
Okay. The great observer calling.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hey, Donna Mike, who would you do, Madeline Albright or Janet Reno?
That's a good one.
That is a fantastic
Madeline
one.
Albright. Come on, Mike.
So hard.
I bet it wouldn't be.
I got to go with Albright.
Yeah,
right.
Without
Albright.
Hesitation,
yeah.
Albright.
Yeah. Who wants to do Reno?
Well, it's a youth factor, right? Isn't Reno many, many years younger?
Hey, who cares? Yeah. Take a look at her, man. At least Albright still looks like a woman. She kind of looks like Aunt Harriet from Batman. But at least she still looks like a woman, right?
I think you're right.
Janet Reno has a penis. Am I right about that? Am I right or am I right?
Am I right?
Hello? All right.
We're hanging up.
We don't need you.
No.
Okay.
Hell no.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Yeah, Buzz. I got a question for Buzz. I was wondering where all those odd socks go.
Where all those what?
All the odd socks go.
You know what he's talking about, Buzz?
It's an old lame joke. It's just, you know, whatever happens to that odd sock. It's just, it doesn't mean anything.
All right, listen, I've said this before, but I really mean it today.
Yeah.
No more calls.
No more calls.
No more calls.
That is it.
Really? Watch my iron will.
The line has been drawn, and I haven't seen this in a while.
No more calls.
The door's been shut.
Watch me move on to something else.
Absolutely.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
Yes. Look.
Yes.
Here we are with another story in our hands.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to answer those phones.
There's no need. There's no need. I mean, you had to make a judgment call.
It's a shaky show.
Right.
Today we're having a shaky show. We have shaky callers making the show even shakier. It's so shaky, we have to stop taking calls so the show's stable again.
Yeah, you don't want to take those shaky calls during a shaky show to start with.
This show is so shaky. This is a Katharine Hepburn show.
Wow. Norman, look at the loons. The beautiful loons, Norman.
Although we will take some calls next hour, because I think we're going to do a Jerry Seinfeld edition of Can You Get to 10?
Door closes, door opens again.
Well, no. No more just off-the-cuff calls.
Okay.
Uh-huh. No more.
All right. That's it. You know,
more blind telephone calls today.
I admire your willpower, and I think it's about time. It's long overdue.
Shaky show we're having today.
Stop thinking these shaky calls. Shakey's. Who worked at Shakey's? Didn't you?
Buzz did.
You worked at Shakey's.
I did.
I always thought Shakey's sucked. No offense, Buzz.
Oh, no, I agree with you. And it's dead now, for the most part.
I liked Shakey's when I was a real little kid.
Right.
Because I liked the player piano that played by itself.
Right.
But once you got a little older,
mm-hmm.
and I guess it was the same way that I am a lot of times, like if I go to the Renaissance Festival,
mm-hmm.
and I want people to act like the way that they're supposed to if they're in crazy, kooky costumes.
Yeah, you wanted the guys to be like old Wild Wild West guys. Hello there, partner.
Yeah, and once we started going in there when I got a little older,
yeah.
and it was just pimply-faced kids wearing the striped shirt and the straw hat, and they come out and go, "Welcome to Shakey's. Take 45 minutes for your pizza."
That was me.
And all the magic was gone from Shakey's. That's when I became a Pizza Hut man.
Shaky is not a good word when you're talking about having good shows or anything that's good comedy. Right. Need I remind you of Shakes the Clown with mm-hmm. Bobcat Goldthwait?
Bobcat Goldthwait. Who, incidentally, is coming back on our show.
Is he really?
He is, but he has another, I'm sure it will be, failed idea for a TV show.
I love it, though. I love Bobcat on the show. Yeah. On the show, he's one of the greatest guests ever.
But I just found out that he's coming back on the show right. and that he's going to, something. We're doing some promotion with him to give away a trip to watch him tape his new failed TV show.
Fantastic.
For a while with Bob Goldthwait,
mm-hmm.
we got, I think, as friendly as we have ever gotten with anybody who's a celebrity.
Sure.
And Bob Goldthwait, the big parting of the ways, was before Shakes the Clown with us.
Yes.
It was his talking horse movie.
Hot to Trot.
Right? Hot to Trot. Yeah.
Hot to Trot, which he thought was going to be a big breakthrough film for him.
And it wasn't. And we had to call it like it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bob Goldthwait stopped calling our show.
Yeah. But the thing that's good about Bobcat is that with that voice, that shtick that he's got, which incidentally, you know, I don't think this is any bulletin. Isn't his real voice.
Oh, yeah. You haven't lived until you've sat with Bobcat Goldthwait mm-hmm. and had him, like, talk politics with you.
Oh, yeah. He's a very liberal-minded, very acute, satirical kind of wit.
Mm-hmm. And he would talk in a regular voice. Like, hey, yeah, man, I don't know. It's all kinds of atrocities that are happening over there, man. I think we should get involved. And then someone would come over, and he'd go... Do you remember the bit we did with him?
Right.
We were doing something for TV,
yep.
and we went out on the street.
It's our ill-fated TV show.
With Bobcat Goldthwait and a handheld camera.
You want to get in the back of the car? You want to get in the back of the convertible? Yeah.
He was just totally freaking people out.
It was great. Yeah. He really, you know, there's something about having him on this show. It works. There's an energy there, and he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
All right, I'll take a call. Hello, Dynamite.
Hey, Bobcat was here in Sioux City about 2 years ago and got picked up for shoplifting.
See, this is not a shaky caller, although he might be shaky because I don't necessarily believe the story. It never crossed the wire.
Gum, that's all he stole.
What did he steal?
A pack of gum.
I remember what he used to like. He'd like a veggie platter and warm tab.
He loved his tab. He loved tab. And do you remember the last thing? Is that true, Buzz? About him stealing gum?
I never heard that story.
The last time Bobcat Goldthwait was in the news, because Shakes the Clown, his movie about the alcoholic, drug-using clown, was such a total failure that everybody turned their back on him.
Right.
He was finally inching his way mm-hmm. back into showbiz.
Right.
And then you remember when he set Jay Leno's set on fire on the Tonight Show?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And then and Leno, you know, of course, recognizing that here was a guy who was kind of, like, on the way in the wrong direction, decided that he'd pick that as his cause.
I'm going to ban Bob Goldthwait from being on my show.
Yeah, easy mark for Leno.
Wow.
And we can ask him about that.
Yeah,
that'll be cool.
Will.
That'll be great.
Oh, good.
We will. Yeah, he was always a good guest on our show. We even liked those dumb police academy movies that he did.
Just with that, you know, that stupid voice. I mean, it works. It's still, you know, it's still kind of funny.
He's funny.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
People love to say he was good. Well, you know, probably not a big enough star, maybe even to make the national news for stealing gum.
Well, I think it's an indication of how far his star has fallen.
Right. Yeah.
That he's, like, jacked up about coming on our show to promote his new TV show.
Hello, guys. You want some free gum?
Hello.
Hello. We're at the scene of the crime, downtown Union Square in San Francisco, where we just apprehended a suspect for mass murder. And we're here to ask him, how has Jerry Seinfeld affected your life?
All right, I'm drawing another bigger line in the sand now.
That was a super shaky call.
Yeah. Hello. Don of Mike Show.
Oh, no.
Hello.
Hey, Don of Mike.
That is a friggin' moat in front of us right now.
Yeah.
Hello.
Don of Mike.
Yeah.
How you guys doing?
Oh, come on. It's a shaky show, man.
How old are you?
18.
Really?
Yep.
All right, what are you calling? What are you calling with to ruin our show?
What? You guys going to come to Sacramento?
When you can pronounce Sacramento so we can hear all of the syllables.
Don of Mike Show. How many people you think when we do this are like screaming at the radio saying stop answering these calls?
A lot? Yeah, but there are also a lot that are going more.
You think so?
I think so.
Hello?
Yeah, the show sucks.
Oh, there's one.
Hello? Don of Mike Show. Hey, it's not my fault the show sucks today.
Right. It's a shaky show with shaky callers.
I'm ready, man. You folks aren't keeping up your end of the bargain today. Hello?
Don.
I only got so much I can talk about every day.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. We count on you people.
It's a partnership, man. Shaky show, not our fault.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Look in the mirror if you want to know why this is such a shaky show.
Live in the now, man.
Hello?
Hey, I just need to tell you guys, you kick A.
KK?
You guys are awesome.
All right. All right. Well, you see, now when we're in this steady decline, when we're going towards the bottom of this big cyclone that is the shaky show.
The spiral.
Even when we get a nice call, because every other call has been so sucky.
Right.
That makes your call, normally a nice call, makes your call a shaky call.
That's right.
Thanks, I really appreciate it. I like it when
hey.
I suck.
All right, I'm just being honest.
And see, he called to be really nice, and then that ended angrily.
Hello?
Radio God.
Hello?
I was just thinking, Bobcat Goldthwait and Carol Kane in the same room.
What?
Bobcat Goldthwait and Carol Kane in the same room for a discussion.
If anybody is carrying a gun, and you bring it down to our studios today, I will kill myself on the show. Today, I will eat lead.
Yeah, but I hope your hand doesn't shake.
In a last-ditch attempt to write this shaky show.
It's not your fault, man.
Hello?
Yeah, I was just calling to say that Bob Goldthwait did get busted shoplifting. I worked at the food store at the time.
Oh, no.
At the very store, at the real store we called from, Iowa?
Yeah.
What's the name of the store?
Cub Foods.
What did he steal?
He stole just like really dinky stuff. I think it was like a pack of gum and a pack of Rolaids. It was really, really minor.
You think maybe he just put them in his pocket and forgot?
He could have, or maybe he just, you know, like you said, you know, his star, you know, thing kind of going away. Maybe, you know, trying to get some publicity or something.
Wait a minute. Now, was it in the papers around Sioux City?
Yeah, it was in the paper.
Didn't make the national news,
didn't
did
make
it?
National.
See, I can understand why you tap a guy on the shoulder and say, hey, you stole some gum, but arrest him? That seems severe.
Well, at least Bob Goldthwait.
I don't know, like I said, it was just kind of a weird deal. I mean,
how humiliating. I hope it wasn't like a high school age store detective that caught him, too.
Excuse me,
I'm
sir.
Not sure.
I noticed you were picking up Rolaids, and that is our gum that you have in your pocket. Answer me these questions, three.
Hello, Don and Mike. Show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hello.
I heard you were having a shaky show, so I turned off the shower. I thought I'd call.
Are you in the shower now?
I'm in the shower right now.
Everybody listen to me right now. This is the remedy for a shaky show. Mm-hmm. Right here.
All right, yes, we have already changed the direction and the momentum.
We are already starting to stabilize.
Well, I love you guys.
What is your name?
My name's Betty.
Betty, celebrity you think you most resemble?
From the neck down, Pamela Anderson.
Maybe. Who cares about...
From the neck up, I was just told Marissa Tomei.
Wow. Perfect woman. Well, who cares?
Oh, man.
Get in the shower, please.
I'm in the shower right now.
Can you turn the water on?
Yeah.
Please?
Oh,
now,
man, listen to this.
Now...
Can you hear it?
Soap, Lefty.
I just did... Okay, all right.
We'll do it again, please.
All right.
Yeah, we're
soap,
going to
Lefty.
It's ultra moisturizing Dove body wash.
We're going to require you to shower all over again.
Okay.
This is the remedy for a shaky show.
That's right, yeah.
I do what I have to do.
Apply the cream.
Okay.
Where are you applying the
I'm
cream?
I'm putting it on the blue poofy.
The blue poofy.
Oh, the poofy. Okay.
That's
C-O-U-S.
That's something like a shower
like a sponge
yes, a little,
thing.
No.
Not a body part.
No.
Okay. No, no, no.
Nice. Poofy. And what are you going to be scrubbing vigorously with your poofy?
What am I going to be scrubbing?
Yes.
Well, that would be righty and lefty.
Righty and lefty.
Righty and lefty. Go ahead. Soap them up.
Okay. The girl.
All right. Do it.
Okay. It's going on right now.
Do it.
They're very clean.
All right. Make
soapy,
sure that...
and I got a Gwinza.
Is the poofy an abrasive?
No, this is a new poofy. Very soft.
Very soft.
Why don't you just try that, Betty? Try that same move with your hands.
Yeah.
My hands, okay.
I really don't think you need the blue poofy.
Very abrasive.
Yeah. Sure, okay.
Put it down, the poofy.
I put it, it's off.
Here's what I want you to do.
Yes.
I'm holding a pencil between my finger and thumb.
Yes, sir.
See that I'm doing right there, Mike?
Yes. Yes.
I'm kind of rolling that pencil between my finger and thumb.
Yes, he's doing a nice little gentle roll with his thumb and forefinger.
Do you, the show steadied a little bit.
Do you understand what we're talking about here?
They're done. They're done.
Wait. No, no, no. Not enough for me. Look what I'm doing now. I have a pencil in my right hand.
Right.
And a pencil in my left hand. What?
Pink.
Oh, pink or brown?
Pink.
Or brown. Okay.
Do you think you could do the pencil trick with your thumb and forefinger without pencils, if you know what we mean?
On both sides?
You don't want me to use my mouth?
You could?
You're that large?
Oh, do it then. Do it. Right. I want to tell you something right now. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah!
The Shaky Show is over.
Yeah!
Yeah!
As soon as she does what she just said, the Shaky right. Show will be over.
All right. Do that so we can hear it.
Do it so you can hear it. It's yes. going to be kind of hard to hold the phone, Andy, that so you can hear it.
Well, not
trust me, I can do it.
Hold on. Hold the phone with your left hand or cradle it like with your shoulder up to your ear.
All right.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, let's hear.
Okay, hold on. Wait.
Oh, baby.
You're going to have to live with this boner for a long time.
You have saved.
The water's getting really cold. I'm
you have saved our Shaky Show.
Oh, God bless you. You are the greatest.
Thank you, Betty.
Guys.
Oh, now
I'm in Sacramento.
Let's hear the water.
I just turned it off.
I want to hear the water as it exits your drain.
Okay, if it goes down the drain, okay, hold on.
That water was just on her
there
body.
There it goes.
Right.
You guys have a wonderful day.
Okay.
Oh, bye-bye. No. Bye to the blue poofy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
That was fantastic.
All right.
Boy.
See, now everything's fine.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Things are cool now.
It's a lesson for the other listeners.
Ooh.
Yes.
Watch out. These other calls will not even affect us now.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. Hello. Don and Mike Show.
No problem. Doesn't matter. She put down the blue poofy.
The guy hung up. Not a problem. Go ahead. Turn your radio up real loud. You know how relaxed I am now?
You're calm.
Yeah.
You're relaxed. You're centered.
Hello. It centers me.
That's right.
Before the show. Hello.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, I heard an interview with Bobcat Goldthwait, and he wasn't actually arrested. A bonehead security officer in the store stopped him. They waited for a police officer to get there before he emptied his pockets. He didn't have anything in his pockets, and they basically made the security officer look like a fool.
All right, well, thank you.
Good. That's good. I'm glad we got that. For Bobcat's sake, I'm glad you called.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Hi.
I just want to let you know that I've got a jar of jelly and a jar of peanut butter, and I put them on my breast, and I thought you'd like to make a sandwich.
You know something, isn't it? It's just like when momentum shifts, it's just like a team coming back in the second half.
Absolutely. We've just driven the field.
Mm-hmm.
We've scored.
Right.
And now the other team has fumbled on the kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to go in for the score that will put the game away.
Jelly and peanut butter. And they're on your... What kind of jelly and what kind of peanut butter on your breasts right now?
Well, we've got Peter Pan Creamy, and we have Smucker's Grape.
You eating a little bit of it already?
Just a little bit,
Peter Pan. All right, well, go ahead, have your sandwich.
Yes, go ahead, and we'll just listen while you enjoy your sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Thank you.
Oh, come on.
Caller ID!
We lost her.
We got to get that lady back.
All right, well, listen, the show's been righted.
Yeah.
We'll continue with the show.
Yeah.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Now, you kids are probably saying to yourselves, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get the world by the tail and wrap it around and pull it down and put it in my pocket. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're probably going to find out as you go out there that you're not going to amount to jack squat. You're going to end up eating a steady diet of government cheese and living in a van down by the river.
The Don and Mike Show.
Time for more great skits. Here's Don and Mike.
Hello, la la la. Hey, folks, it's Rob Spiewak here. Listen, I just wanted to remind you, because I like you, that you got to listen to the best of Don and Mike while Don and Mike are away, because when they come back, they're going to be asking a trivia question that can win you $1,000. But here's the catch. The answer to the trivia question is buried somewhere in the best of. Ooh. So make sure you listen to the best of Don and Mike.
Yep. We'll start at the bottom and work our way towards what I believe is the top, keeping in mind that the celebrity that we judge the best, be they there or on an answering machine, will win somebody $100.
Excellent.
All right, now we'll start with the guy in Maine. Hello, is this Rich?
Yes, that's me.
Hey, Rich, thank you for listening on WZAN.
Hi.
Who is your celebrity?
Arnie Ginsberg.
You remember that old fossil DJ we were talking about yesterday?
Oh, Arnie Woo Woo Ginsberg.
He's an old fossil, that's sure. Yeah.
I think we might have to eliminate Arnie Woo Woo Ginsberg.
I believe that is a good call.
I believe that
you
is.
You gotta call him. You gotta. He's got a great lifestyle going on next door to my mother.
He lives next door to your mother.
When you say a great lifestyle, you mean he's enjoying life?
The people that he has over his house. Let's just say that.
This is some old disc jockey from the 50s,
yeah,
right?
I don't know anything about him. I know that...
You've been listening to the old woo-woo. Arnie Ginsberg Night Train Show, serenading you 7 nights a week. Don't forget, first thing in the morning, to Fenway Inn, then Dan Donovan, Melvin X. Melvin's Gold Platter Show, Don Parker, and then tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, I'll be wooing you on Wimex. Good tonight.
Woo-woo. Arnie Woo-woo Ginsberg.
That's right. He would drive by on his scooter, and I'd go, woo-woo. And he'd be clueless. He's getting old.
You know, I don't think so, sir, but
no.
Thank you.
Not thick enough,
thank
unfortunately.
You. All right, now, we're going to move up to the next celebrity.
All right, very good.
Hello, Donna Mike. Is this Michelle?
Yes, it is.
Michelle, who's your celebrity?
Greg Louganis.
Greg Louganis, Olympic diver.
Yes.
All right.
Greg Louganis.
Mm-hmm.
He counts as a celebrity. I'm going to try to dial the number now that you gave us, okay?
Okay.
All right, hold on. I'm going to do it with you on the line.
Okay.
Because if his answering machine is there, you can leave him a message.
Okay.
And please, guys, when we get him on the line, if we get him, none of those loose anus jokes, okay?
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Greg Loose Anus?
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah, Rob's applauding.
Here we go, right now. How do you know Greg Louganis?
I met him at a book signing fair in Boston a couple years ago.
How'd you get his home phone number?
Because we had a common, we raised dogs. He gave me his telephone number to get some ideas from him on how to raise Dalmatians.
All right, calling now. Seeing if the call goes through. Trying Greg Louganis.
Reached a number that is no longer in service.
You're out of there.
Ouch. Ouch, Michelle.
Sorry about that, Michelle.
Okay.
She's out of the running.
Mm. Here's what I'm looking forward to right now.
Very good.
His name is Howard. Hello, Howard.
Hello.
Howard, who's your celebrity?
Norman Fell.
Norman Fell, Mr. Roper.
The Ropers.
Oh, this could be a gold mine.
Do you know Norman Fell?
Norman Fell Stalker.
Well, now wait a minute.
Come on, really. How do you know him?
Some friends were playing, we were trying to kind of put together a fan club and just did a search on the internet, and his number was listed, and we called him. Talked to him once or twice.
Uh-huh. So you've talked to him?
Yeah.
And is he a nice man?
Yeah, he seemed to be. Always, like he was busy, like he was trying to blow us off. But.
Yeah, I can't imagine why.
Do you think
even Mr. Roper.
Do you think he would accept a call from you?
Yeah, from me, probably not. I mean, he wouldn't know who I was. It's been probably over a year since we talked. For 10.
All right, well,
just,
listen.
Just told him that we enjoyed him. So.
We can't help how he got the telephone number. Let's try to call TV's Norman Fell.
That's right. So we will take it from here, obviously, since Norman Fell would not have a clue as to who that guy is.
Did I just disconnect that guy? Hold on, which line is he on? Hello? Hey, guys? Oh, what did I do? I keep forgetting you got to put a line on hold before you want to connect them. Hello, Donna Mike.
How are you doing?
How you doing?
This is not the guy that had the phone number for Norman Fell, is it?
No, this isn't. This is the guy. I am a small-time marital counselor down here in Austin, Texas, and I wanted to get a 10 or 15-second spiel on why Don's wife has it so good.
Oh, F you. Come on, F you, marriage counselor. My wife's got it great. Of course she's got it great. What, and you're a marriage counselor? You want to scream about that?
No, absolutely. You know, if you have a little tiff between her, and she doesn't really appreciate the beauty in you, and, you know, I think that I could have a little talk with her.
I don't think you're a marriage counselor to begin with. I just think you're a kook.
Let me tell you something. If you're a marriage counselor, after the show, I'm planning on flying a 747 to Hong Kong, okay?
All right, goodbye.
Great. KJFK rule, thought it might suck, yeah.
I'm planning on flying... Oh, there he goes. All right, nice getting some goodwill out of Austin.
Sure.
All right. Now we're working the phones a little bit here.
Employing technology.
Yes, little technology.
07 879.
That's Maine.
618.
Oh, well, then that's the wrong guy.
Right.
Don't call that number, please.
I know that area code from Maine. That's not the guy.
Who's on this line?
I tried to star 69, that guy.
Yeah.
Big man. This is a marriage company. It says KJFK rules.
God.
Friggin' dick.
Leave us alone.
Hello?
Hello.
Who's this?
That's Howard again.
Oh, is this the guy that knows Norman Fell's number?
Yes.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Let's see if we can get through to Norman Fell.
All right, hold on. They got to put Norman Fell's number back up on the screen for me now, please.
And technically, even though he doesn't know Norman Fell, he produces the number if we make contact with Norman Fell.
Or if we get his answering machine. He'll be in the running. He'll be a finalist here. Mm-hmm.
There's a bigger celebrity, right, Don?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Plenty bigger than Norman Fellow.
Trying to call Mr. Roper now. You loved his work on Three's Company.
You know, I hope all of our listeners call the local shows on KJFK and sucker punch those disc jockeys. Do it. Do it, do it, do it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sound good for you.
Nope.
If he's on the machine, you'll be in the running.
Hi, this is...
You're not, Norman Fell has changed his number.
You are out of there.
Norman Fell has changed his phone number. All right, let's go up the food chain.
Very good.
Here's a guy who says he knows Dan Aykroyd's phone number.
Dan Aykroyd. Wow.
I wouldn't say I know him, but I got his number.
How do you have Dan Aykroyd's phone number?
I happened to be in his wife's parents' house at one point, and I was just kind of being nosy, and I found the number.
Oh, no.
No,
listen... The internet is one thing, but snooping through a guy's house.
No,
is the answer. That's right. No, no, no.
It wasn't.
No, no, no.
It wasn't snooping, though.
Yeah.
No, all right.
Right, thank you.
Much as I would like to call Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing if you get the number off the internet or something.
You know, and the ultimate would be seriously a, hi, Fred. You know what I mean? Like somebody who, for whatever reason, had made something. Like, you know, a very distant relative that he had to be nice to.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Great, thanks.
Good.
Do you have somebody for us?
Yes, I do.
Who?
Her name is Kelly McCarty. She is an actress in L.A., and she was Miss USA in 1991.
Oh, funny. Forget about it. Come on, let's do better than that. Hello, who do you have there? Is this Steve?
Yeah, hi, Don.
Hey, buddy, who do you have?
How about Patricia Arquette?
Patricia Arquette.
Ooh. We could go with her. Now, how do you have her telephone number?
My brother lives in L.A., and he was working at her house building cabinets, and he gave me her number.
All right, well, then at least the guy had a reason to be in her house, right?
Yes. That's right. If you call, don't ask for Nick. Ask for Nicholas.
All right, well, I'm not going to do the asking when we call. You're going to have to do the talking.
All right. I am? Okay.
Yeah, hold on. We have to do a break. We'll come right back. I see Patricia Arquette right there.
Very good.
Also, someone says Ronnie Lott.
Ronnie Lott, yes, a big-time TV guy.
Nine fingers, Ronnie Lott.
Mm-hmm.
Cut one of his fingers off. During a football game, the guy jammed his finger, and they said you can either... come out of the game now and we'll fix your finger or we'll cut the tip off. Right.
That is a legendary tough guy.
They cut the tip of his finger off. And, listen to this, a guy who's just called in.
Well, hi, Rosie.
A guy who says he has the home phone number for Miss Kathleen Turner.
Kathleen Turner, that would be very exciting.
Yeah, cold pork pie.
You know, because he's a stool of a grade. I don't know, I want to...
Remember, for a while we were obsessed with these tapes of... the changing voice of Kathleen Turner.
Yes, and you know, if you go on the different shows on A&E on Discovery, she does a tremendous amount of narration.
There she is again. Oh, and more names that are now coming over.
But I talk American.
Right. Lloyd Bridges.
Right. Well, the Lloyd Bridges would be very difficult to make contact with.
All right, maybe that's a long-distance call. Maybe we're being scammed on that. Oh, and Robert Conrad, another one of the names. I dare you to knock it off.
Lloyd Bridges, you have to go underground to get play with Beetle food right
now. Maybe it's one of his kids. Yes. Maybe it's, he has a couple of sons.
That's right. Yes,
he
does.
We'll get to the bottom of this when we come right back. Well, let's welcome now into our big-time studio... From USA Today.
Remember, he's a workaholic.
Rudy.
It's USA Today's Rudy Martsky.
Hey, Rupert.
How you doing, guys?
How you doing, Rudy?
Always a pleasure having you in studio, Rudy.
It's always a pleasure being here, too, fighting that belly traffic.
I was talking to Rudy on the hallway, and, you know, he pulled out his little, his electronic Rolodex.
Yeah.
And Rudy was bragging that he could probably come up with a million celebrities.
He'd win the game.
Who would be as good as some of these that folks are calling in with. And we will try to call Ahmad Rashad.
Very good.
Now, will he be in his hotel room or will he be inside Michael Jordan's bung?
Could be in there, but you know, I just want to reiterate, I do need the $100. So,
All right, hold on. Rudy, you're going to help us as a judge.
Sure.
Uh-huh. And then we're going to get to the TV sports.
Very
good. I want to ask you some stuff about your column today.
Sure.
What about this thing? The last paragraph of your column today?
Yeah.
It must be great to be a friend of Rudy. You know how they're friends of Bill, F-O-B?
Yes, that's F-O-R's, F-O-R's.
To be a friend of Rudy.
Friends of Rudy.
You start your column today in USA Today. Whole big thing about the Bulls game tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got NBA ratings, and you got Fox burned by the NHL. You got Around the Dial. And then the very last item, ESPN's Ron Franklin. Who's he?
He does the Saturday football games with Mike Godfrey, the big primetime games on Saturday night.
ESPN's Ron Franklin missed last weekend's wedding of Dick Vitale's daughter, Terry, but he landed a 550-pound marlin in a three-hour tussle off Mexico. I read this and I said to Mike, you know what this is? First off, it's a friend of Rudy's that caught a big fish.
Caught a big fish, called Rudy to tell him about it.
And Rudy not only got that in the paper, but figured out a way to get in that Dick Vitale's daughter got married last week.
Guess right? What? One editor in the office lost a $5 bet.
Really?
He bet I couldn't get in the Dick Vitale wedding. He was wrong.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, but you got it in by talking about your friend catching a fish.
By the way, $175,000 was the estimate of what Dick Vitale spent on that wedding for his daughter. 3-day extravaganza.
For $175,000.
Wow.
What did you get? Were there any nice parting gifts?
Yeah, did you get nice favors there?
No, I played golf.
But what is it involved?
How does Dick Vitale spend $175,000 on a wedding?
Exactly. What's involved in a wedding that costs $175,000?
How about if you have 250 of your closest friends?
Yes.
Okay.
You're including
which
them.
Which I felt pretty good until I started seeing, like,
you notice how he makes the
PAs,
Pope,
you know,
the Pope gesture? That's how you know Rudy was one of his closest friends.
Yes.
Because, you know, 275 of his closest friends.
What was the bar tab? Around $100,000?
Well, look at this. It started Friday afternoon. People were getting there. By Friday night, there was a huge party on the deck of the hotel, the roof of the hotel, with a band, and they thought it might rain, so one of the little extra things Dick did was what he said, go ahead and do it. He bought a pop for a roof for the over the party, which was $5,000 extra.
Oh.
How about this? We're sitting around, you know, and there's all this food going on out there. Dick Stockton's, Leslie Visser's, all the former guests on
people
his show.
People started arriving on Friday. That's why you arrived on Wednesday, right?
Yeah, well, we went down to see my mother on Wednesday, okay?
Yeah, remember? Mom Marsky.
Yeah. Then we're standing out there, and after a while, like, wait a second, fireworks, okay?
Fireworks.
Yes, a half an hour of fireworks, better than most towns.
But still, $175,000. Were there hookers or anything?
Who knows? Friday night was probably $50,000 or more.
Yeah, with the
then
fireworks.
Saturday was the wedding,
mm-hmm.
then the reception, and it actually rained a little bit. Dick goes over to Rolls Royce. I said, what his daughter, Terry. And
I think Vitale gets so much money, Rudy.
He makes it all off the basketball, plus all of his sponsors and his endorsements. It's unbelievable. I figure Dick Vitale probably makes about $2.5 million a year.
Really? Well, give me a gun right now. I'm ready to eat less.
Oh, my God. Yes.
There's something wrong with
it
the United States.
It couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Shut up, Rudy.
Stop it.
Does she look like him? Or does she look like her mother?
She looks like her mother. Mother looks very good.
Good for her.
Thank God she didn't get his looks.
Looks like her mother.
I want to get to some of these calls with folks of the celebrities. And then Rudy, did you ever hear the commercial we did about you being gay?
It's been reported back to me. I made sure I didn't listen.
I'll play it.
Yeah.
I'll play it for you here in a second. All right, now, we're doing the thing with who's got the phone number of the celebrities. We've done this one time about a year ago.
Right.
But we did it where the celebrity had to call us.
Yes.
Now we're calling celebrities. Here's Steve.
Hey, Don.
The guy who's some bass-ackwards way has the phone number of Patricia Arquette.
Okay.
And we're going to call her now. Steve, here we go. Thus far, we've had no luck contacting any of the celebrities that our listeners have called in with phone numbers for.
Mm-hmm.
We'll either say hi to the celebrity or we'll get the answering machine. Somebody wins $100 today. 100 bones.
That's right.
Great.
Good luck, Steve. But the phone's still ringing, Steve.
Here's the fourth ring. Most machines pick up now, right?
Come on, pick up.
No, I'm not looking strong right now, Steve.
Sorry, buddy.
Sorry, Steve.
Sorry. All right.
And there goes Steve.
Bye-bye. All right, here's a guy who says he has Pamela Anderson's phone number.
Excellent.
Wow. Is this Skip?
This is Skip.
Skip, that must be a made-up name, right? Because you don't want to use your real name?
That'd be close to the truth.
How do you have Pamela Anderson's phone number?
Well, actually, I've got Tommy Lee's phone number. I got it from him a couple years ago. We had some friends together in the same
year. Like the county jail?
Rocker Tommy Lee. Jailed rocker, right,
yes,
Buzz?
Yeah, troubled jailed rocker.
Troubled jailed rocker Tommy Lee.
Yeah, I guess we'd have to, you know, if he has an answering machine, it's like, hey, dudes, I can't come to the phone right now because I'm incarcerated.
Fortunately, I know what her voice sounds like because my wife and our neighbor Bunny were watching the movie the other night, and all she says over and over is, oh, baby. Baby. Hey, Rudy, have you and the mouse seen the Pamela and Tommy tape?
Usually you're asking us other things, like what have you been doing late at night in bed, but that's an easy question, Don. Of course we haven't. Okay?
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Good, okay. Good truthful answer.
All right. Yeah. We're going to dial up Pamela Anderson.
We can get that for you. Yeah.
Very exciting.
This would be up there. This would be way up there. Wife of jailed, troubled rocker Tommy Lee.
How are you doing in bed, Rudy? Everything okay there?
Better than it used to be.
Well, better than it used to be.
Well, I was cut off for a while when I went to...
What? Hello?
Give me your message and we'll call you back after when we get home.
It's a little kid.
How old's your kid?
Probably 3-4 years old now.
I think wasn't the kid like 2 years old?
Yeah.
Because that's the thing that she said that she was holding the kid when he hit her.
Yeah, she had a toddler and a baby.
She has two, yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, Rudy, are you taking Viagra? Is that why things are better for you?
No. Actually, I heard that Viagra's caused some deaths.
Yes, it has, Rudy. Yeah. Viagra has. And you know, when you say it
scared me away.
Scares the hell out of me.
Yeah.
You have no problem in that department, huh?
Never had. Well... Can't say I never had.
A good man. Yeah. All right, well, Skip, you're out, my friend.
Sorry.
All right. You're out.
Couldn't couldn't confirm it. Got to be able to confirm it.
Try one more. Here's Dina. Hello, Dina.
Hi, how you doing?
Great, thanks. Who is your celebrity phone number?
Tom Landry.
Tom Landry
from the Dallas Cowboys.
Fantastic. Rudy, you know Tom Landry, don't you?
I'll be playing in his golf tournament this fall.
Maybe. We'll see how this phone conversation goes.
Yes.
Dina, how do you have Mr. Landry's phone number?
Well, you can say I kind of take care of his home.
Oh, good. So he'd know you.
No, not really.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No.
This could be a biggie. Now, if it's Tom Landry's voice on the answering machine, you will go right to the top of the list.
I hope so.
As of this moment, we've not been able to make contact with any of these celebrities.
No, still ringing. Not looking good.
Well,
Dina.
I have another one.
All right, hold on. We'll take the other number. Hold on a second, please.
Hold on.
Please, tell Cannon about that, please.
Mm-hmm.
All right, one more before we have to do a break.
Okay.
Only because I've just seen the name that screams super mega talent.
Yes.
Carrot Top.
Carrot Top!
Oh. Is this Ron?
Yes.
You have Carrot Top's phone number?
This could be huge. This could be our hands-down winner.
Well, hey, Rudy, I bet you're a big fan of Carrot Top. Do you like Carrot Top?
Yeah, it's because of the color of your shirt, Dot.
What's that?
Rudy, do you know who Carrot Top is?
No, I have no idea.
He's a lame comedian, Rudy.
Yeah, okay.
He's pretty bad.
He's a prop comedian.
How do you have Carrot Top's phone number, Ron?
Well, we have friends over at the Improv, so whenever people come into town, sometimes we'll get together with them, and so I got his number.
All right, hold on. I'm going to dial him up right now.
Very good. Carrot Top.
Who would know Carrot Top's voice?
I know.
Yeah.
Hi there. You know, he's kind of like that. Hey, how are you? Yeah.
Yeah, I bet I recognize it. I'm a closet Carrot Top lover.
Of course.
Sure I am. Hello?
Yes. Thank you for calling Creative Talent, the Comedy Zone corporate office.
It's an agent's office.
Sorry, buddy.
Sorry, buddy. Not picking up.
You can reach the area.
Well, I've got Tom Clancy and John Christian.
Hold on. What did you say there?
So Tom Clancy and John Christian.
I don't care about Tom Clancy, but I might be interested in John Grisham.
Well, we've got him.
Are you sure it's not another agent's office?
Well, I'm not exactly sure, but let me try.
All right, hold on. Give it to Cannon, please. Hold on just a second. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I have Don Knott's phone number.
Wow. Barney 5?
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. Oh, we have to do a break. Okay, all right. When we come back, we'll get your number. We'll do Barney 5. And Rudy will also try to call Ahmad Rashad and all the other guys for NBC.
Excellent.
Out of the NBA Finals. How are you doing, Rudy?
I'm doing okay. They might be hopping those limos right now. It's 3 hours to tip off time.
That's Rudy's way of saying they might not be available.
That's okay. Fine. We've got a cell phone.
And I'm sure you have a bigger name in your little electronic Rolodex than
we got.
Rashad,
we got it right here.
All right, good. We'll be right back. How you doing, Rudy?
Good.
Okay, we're coming back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Rob, this is Legion Jean. Would you and your two buddies from the Crybaby Hall of Fame please destroy my phone number? I'm kind of serious about this, you know. I can take it, but I can also dish it out. Like, if I hear from you guys again, I'm liable to go to the president of WJFK and file a complaint against you. You don't want that for a Christmas present, right? Have a nice day, Turkey.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
We're trying to do this thing, get people with phone numbers with celebrities. We had no luck thus far. Rudy Martsky has also joined us from USA Today. Rudy, who are you calling back in the back room there? Checking on somebody?
Checking on Ahmad Rashad. He obviously has left to go off for the Bulls game.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got his cell phone. Left a message on his cell phone right now.
Now, is it Ahmad Rashad's voice that says...
Yes.
Oh, give me the number. I'd like to hear his voice.
Okay.
And then you could leave him another message.
Well, do actually... Charlie's got his number.
Oh, Charlie, would you put that up on the screen, please?
All right, very good.
Okay.
And we'll call Mr. Ahmad Rashad. While we're waiting for that number, will you turn up the speaker, Rob, so Rudy can hear the commercial that we did about him last week?
I think you'll enjoy this, Rudy.
There you go. From us to you, Rudy.
For years, he's kept a secret, and now Rudy Martsky is out of the closet.
I like Dick. I mean, I most of the time.
He's open, he's proud, and he's telling everyone.
Yeah, I love Dick.
Rudy Martsky, out of the closet and looking for company.
Do you like Dick?
Rudy Martsky, sharing his secrets with lots of detail.
I want to kiss him the top of his head.
Rudy Martsky, out of the closet and out in the open. He's not the same old Rudy anymore.
Yeah, I love Dick.
Yeah, Rudy, we know.
Remember that day we were talking about Dick Vitale?
Yeah.
Asking if you like him or not?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the first time you've heard him.
I love Dick.
Halfway through this, and I realized, oh, boy, these guys are setting me up.
Yeah.
What about Ahmad Rashad's phone number? Guys, still don't see it.
All right, we're just processing in the back.
Away?
All right, well, let's take a call again for our contest.
Mm-hmm.
Our contest, which is going nowhere because nobody's really got the phone numbers of the celebrities.
Yeah, we're close, but no cigar.
Hmm. Right, here is Ahmad Rashad.
Hold on.
Leave it up there.
All right. Getting ready for the big game.
Tonight. So right now, if we hear Ahmad Rashad's voice, that would put Rudy in the lead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Clearly. For this contest.
Clearly.
You might be walking away with $100 tonight, Rudy.
I need it for the move.
Everybody, Rudy's moving to Atlanta. We're pretty sad about that.
Yeah, we're bummed out about it.
We're still having on the show every week.
Yeah.
Just won't be able to come down a lot. Although, you tell me during the break he's going to get back to D.C.
Hey.
Hello,
Rudy.
Hey.
Rudy, this is Ahmad.
Yeah.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Damn, is it?
Yeah. So we're
at the door.
Were you walking out the door?
Yeah, it's got to be 4:30, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, no, it's 4:15.
Oh yeah, I got some time.
Yeah,
Rudy, it's 6:15.
No, it's 4:15 in Salt Lake City.
Oh, in Salt Lake.
Oh, I forgot that.
He is in another state.
Well, Rudy, go ahead and interview Ahmad Rashad.
Ahmad, how much time you spend with Michael today?
None, zero. I had other things to do, Rudy. I was on the golf course all day.
Yeah, Ahmad has recently taken up golf big time, more than Michael Muir here.
Man, I'm telling you, this golf thing, I'm going crazy with it.
Yeah, but are you good enough to play with Michael yet?
Michael Smith? I'm not good enough to play with Michael. No, he's a lot better. I just picked the game up. I'm good enough to play with you, Rudy, though.
Yeah, no, you weren't good enough to play tennis with my son.
Oh, stop it now.
Yeah. Which son, Rudy?
Brent.
He doesn't want to go into that story. it's embarrassing for the Marsky family.
Hey, you ever meet Rudy's other son?
No.
I met Michael Marsky a couple of weeks ago.
He's a totally different guy from Brett Marsky.
You wouldn't picture him in a lineup as being the child of Rudy and Mouse.
Really?
Hey, he's like a flower child.
Yeah, absolutely. Hippie all the way.
Child of the 60s.
And I'd probably like him then.
Yeah.
That's right down my alley.
You ever been to Michael Jordan's bungalow?
No.
Hey,
how about those bunk?
Oh, look. Hey, now, Ahmad. Now, this is odd that you have not spent time with Michael today.
No, it isn't.
On game day, you don't?
Yeah, what we do is before the game.
Oh, see? Out there.
We'll get together and have a little room we ghost in and bullfish. Oop, I can't see.
Hold on, I have to do. Hello,
are you still there?
Oh, no. I had to delete out Ahmad Rashad because he used the S word. He said he just hangs out with Michael Jordan and bull S's with him. Wow.
And you know, I want to give my partner credit, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I was gonna
technically,
move.
He got it in there.
I would have moved in for the kill.
That's right.
I was just setting him up.
He said, have you ever been to Michael Jordan's bungalow? And then in the background, I heard it loud and clear. Yeah. How about his bung?
I said it, Mike.
There you go. You did it. Technically.
And I would have said it louder, too, if he hadn't used the S word.
All of a sudden, I know you were setting up another way of working it in there.
And all of a sudden, the very loose, relaxed Ahmad Rashad.
Just a promise that Don made early in the week, Rudy, and he came through on the promise.
Well, you know, and obviously it's what you were trying to grill him about, too. A lot of people think he's up Michael Jordan's ass, right?
Well, they do.
He's such an ass kiss for Michael Jordan.
Yeah, but see, I don't think that.
But I'm an ass kiss for Michael Jordan, too. Sure. The difference is I don't know Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's that much of a negative for NBC because he does get extra information on the Michael. And who's the biggest guy out there, period, nowadays?
Right.
Michael Jordan. And there's going to a lot of things that happen. One, I think Utah is winning this series. Mm-hmm. But secondly, Michael.
Oh, no way. How'd you like to make a dog food bet on that?
No, I don't. I'm not making those anymore.
Me versus you. Wouldn't you love to make me eat some dog food? Are you really sure that Utah's going to win, Rudy? Before you move to Atlanta?
Come on, Rudy. You know, one last great bet. You said Utah's going to win. I mean, Utah's favorite. Okay.
So, Don, if we can have a light tap of dog. The last one, you piled on me.
All right, how about
on.
If we could both agree.
How about dog food, guys? Yeah. Dog food on a cracker.
I would go with that.
A dog food hors d'oeuvre on a cracker.
Yeah, that's it.
All right?
Okay, I'll go with that.
All right, on a
good
cracker.
Good man. All right, okay. The bet is on then.
Okay, Bulls win, Rudy eats dog food on a cracker, Jazz wins, Don eats dog food on a cracker.
That's fantastic.
Right. It makes it more interesting.
I'll go with that one.
All right, let's get back to our contest. Here's a guy that says he has the phone number for Hanson.
Hanson? Oh, Zach and all those guys?
Do you know who Hanson is, Rudy?
No, I only know sports.
He doesn't know. You know, the teenage boys, the kind of queer-looking boys, are kind of ugly. There's three of them from Tulsa. Have you heard, bop, 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 doo bop, doo bop, doo bop, bop, doo bop,
woo, bop, bop, doo bop. We're singing the Rudy.
Yeah. I always might have heard that, but I didn't know it was the Hansons.
You know Dick Hanson, don't you?
You love him, don't you? Don't you love Dick?
Hey, is this... I don't anymore.
Is this Matt?
Yeah.
How do you have the number for the Hanson boys?
I'm friends with their manager.
Good. All right, here we go. Dial it up right now, and...
this could be a winner here.
Hold on. What am I doing?
I'm calling Hanson.
Did I hang up on that guy again? What's doing on that phone, Robin? Look at see the number's not on the screen now.
Why those cotton picking phones? I don't know. Rudy, you're rubbing your eyes. You're a little tired
now. No, just somebody talking to him on line one, Rob.
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, tell him to hang up the phone, please, because I want to talk to
him. Rudy was giving himself like a cornea massage there for a second. My
I do that.
God.
Yeah. Okay. I wrote two stories today.
Oh, I know. Worked very hard.
We had Ahmad Rashad embarrass me on his show.
Hey, that was a great moment. Ahmad Rashad singing Bull Ass.
And I got a chance to ask him if he spends time at Michael Jordan's bungalow.
About his dog.
I knew what Don was was getting to, because I listen to the show, too.
Hey, you're sharp, Bob. Yes, Rob?
They're getting him back in the back room. So.
Oh, all right. Well, listen. We'll try this guy, then.
Okay.
All right. This will be the last chance for this contest. This guy says he has Barney Fife's phone number, Don Knotts.
Don Knotts. That's the one I was really looking forward to getting in touch with.
Scott, how do you have Barney Fife's phone number?
Well, I interviewed him for a little pop culture magazine that I put out.
Excellent.
He was very nice.
Okay, right, good. Good. Yeah.
I hope he's nice. I like him. We're big fans.
All right, let me do this.
No!
And let me tell you, there'll be no mollycoddling. No.
Got to nip it.
Nip it in the bud.
Nip it. Bud nipping.
Oh, boy, I hope he says that if we get through. I'm getting too excited. I'm going to get disappointed.
Yeah. None of these guys are coming through.
Right.
No.
Not like you.
You did. Amad Rashad, you got him on the line.
Breached 201-6542.
No, that's a fake.
Name the number. No, it's not.
Where are
you?
Listen.
I have a tape of the interview.
Hold on. Listen, hold on a second.
That is like the worst Don Knotts impression I've ever heard. You are not taking $100 of our money.
Liar, 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 liar.
I swear to God.
Liar.
I'll send you a copy of the I swear to God
that that's not Don Knotts.
That's somebody doing a Don Knotts impression on an answering machine.
Right, now here's this will be the last chance in this contest. The guy with Hanson's phone number, we got him back. Okay.
Yeah, hey, what's up?
All right, so Rockford, as we said before, it's a teen idol group. Zach, Tito, Marlon, and...
I get a note, it's these guys. And,
they might be on tour. If they are, their dad may be there. His name is Walker.
It's a member of the family. You'd be the big wiener.
Well,
the
Hanson residence, it would count.
That would matter?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right,
hold on. Does this mean we have to give Rudy $100?
Oh, no.
No way.
I can't win. I'm a member of the show.
You're a member of our troop.
All right, here we go. Last chance for this contest. Calling Hanson.
All right. Maybe they're not touring yet.
Right, yeah. I can use him to take Mouse out to dinner. Mollifier in his home.
Hello? Hey, Matt?
Yeah, is this the Hanson residence?
Yes.
The Hanson from the singing group Hanson?
Oh, great.
What happened to the guy on the telephone? There's a guy on the... See, the guy on the phone just hung up on us.
Hello?
Is this Zach?
Would you like to make a call?
Hold on
a second. We got the Hanson guys on.
Hello, is this Hanson?
Who is this?
Hey, Don and Mike. We've interviewed you before. We're doing our radio show right now.
So we're doing a contest to have people call celebrities, and some guy called and said that he worked on your tour, and then we called the number up, and then he just hung up.
He just hung up, and we were going to, pay him $100 for it.
You must have the wrong number.
Oh, really?
Who, this is not Hanson?
No.
Oh.
These aren't the little kids that sing the song?
No.
Really?
I don't know what's going on. What is this?
This is a radio show.
Okay. You must have the wrong number.
You ever heard of Rudy Martsky?
No.
From USA Today. He's here doing his little guest segment on our show. Rudy, say hello.
Hello, Hanson.
That's not Hanson. Right?
Somebody must have the wrong number.
Okay, I got you.
Right, sorry about that.
Thanks.
I think that might have been Hanson's phone number, and that's just a little Hanson in training.
That's what I'm suspecting. It was Hanson,
but the guy hung up. The guy hung up.
Well, now I look up on the screen, now that we have to break, Willard Scott, wow. Rob Schneider, and George Bush.
Wow.
And Rudy, you're the winner today.
Way to go, Rudy.
Amad Rashad. And Amad Rashad saying the S word.
That's right. Had to bleep him out, and then we lost contact with Amad Rashad.
Oh, wait, is this real? Somebody's put on the screen Bill Parcells. Someone has Bill Parcells' phone number?
Wow.
Would I love to call that hard ass. Put his number up on the screen.
Excellent.
This is Hanson. We're playing Hanson in the background. Tell me what you think of this song. You can't even hear that.
Really loves music.
Tell me what you think of this song. Listen. Mm-hmm. What?
He said he's heard it. He just doesn't know the names of the artists. Yeah. I like serving as Rudy's translator.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess they're listening to another station in the back room because Bill Parcells' number is not. Now it says Bill Parcells, except the S is a dollar sign.
Oh, really?
it's bad keyboardmanship.
Keyboardsmanship.
Hey, Rudy, have you ever met Bill Parcells?
Yeah, sure.
Chatted with him a while?
Yeah. Well, of course, he used to work for the NBC. He was such a cordial guy.
Is this Brett the guy that has Bill Parcells' number?
Okay. How do you know Bill?
My mom went to school with him.
All right, cool.
Can Rudy verify the number?
He's changed his number since I had it.
Oh, okay.
This is his
office. No longer at NBC.
This is his office.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, well, Linda, I'm away from my desk.
Yep. All right, thanks anyway. Rudy can't verify?
As soon as I can. Thanks.
Oh, no, Rudy can't. Rudy can barely verify the fact he's Rudy Martin. Okay. All right, come on, get out of here.
I'm not in the verification.
Goodbye, Brent. And Rudy, give us a nugget that we would not have known if we were not talking to you, the guru of TV sports.
Okay, how about this?
How about this?
A new football league will come off. There's going to be 12 cities, and not in this area, but San Antonio's the latest one out. It looks like it's going to be in, and they'll probably launch in the summer of 2000. And what else going on here?
Okay,
all right. Something new I got out of this today.
Hey, Rudy?
Yeah.
What? You see that nugget you just gave us?
Yes.
It's sitting in the middle of a field surrounded by crickets.
Okay.
All right, get out of here, Rudy.
Okay.
Come on, get out.
Thanks, Rudy.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, I have to talk to you.
I'm very busy.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I am sorry. Just listen to me. This is important. I asked Bill to write some patter for the debut of Hank's Hot Potato, but I hardly think he has captured the spirit of fun with this kind of dialogue. I'm sure everyone here loves the old game Hot Potato, but I'll bet you're going to like it even more when I tell you that I just pulled this potato right out of my big fat ass. Here, catch. Then the audience in unison shouts, "Hey now, Hank, go f*** yourself." I mean, the audience isn't even supposed to have lines.
The Don and Mike Show. Your beacon of hope in a sea of mediocrity. The Don and Mike Show.
I was watching the end of one the other day that had Tom Hanks.
Right.
I hadn't watched the show, but it was just the end where they play that entire song and they're standing on stage waving.
Well, that sax solo that goes on for 3 hours, you know.
By G.E. Smith.
Right.
Hey, will someone tell that dick out in the hallway to stop walking by the window?
Yeah,
Rob,
yeah.
Would you go get him? He's walked by like 3 times now.
All right, that's a third time. You know what that means.
Yeah. Terribly unnerving. The guy walks by one time and he looks. Mm-hmm. Then he's leaving and he looks. And then he walks by and then he comes back and sticks his head back again.
That's it, Rob Spiewak, following Charlie Broyhill, and this man is now going, the cattle prod will be taken to him.
We are not your chimpanzees.
It's very disconcerting to have somebody come by that window when you're trying to do a show. And if they give you that panda look, which is kind of like,
bring him to me. Let me look at him.
You know, whenever I watch the Today Show, I'd always like to have that one person that occasionally they'll find a corner of that set on the Today Show where someone will get right between the potted plants and they're doing like a serious interview.
Oh, yeah.
You see somebody just going like this with their hands. I would love to see a security guy with one of those batons come up and clock the person that's doing that.
So I was watching Tom Hanks at the last awkward moments of Saturday Night Live.
Right.
And maybe this is how pathetic I am or how I notice details, but I was watching Reading the Lips as he walked from cast member to cast member. Mm-hmm. And he went to Dana Carvey and he said, "Good show."
Right.
And then it was Kevin Nealon and he said, "Good job."
What a shame. I wish with Kevin Nealon he would have gone, "You're an a-hole."
And then he went over to Chris Farley.
Right.
And he only had the expression, his face, when it looked like he said, it was, "Whoa!" And Chris Farley doing the same back at him.
Right.
And after he talked to those three guys, he didn't talk to anybody else.
Right.
He just kind of milled around. And when the guy making copies, I'm the copier guy.
Schneider.
He walked up. Tom Hanks turned and looked the other way like, if I turn my back now, he won't know that I'm avoiding him. But he's on TV.
It's really like looking at a little cocktail party and seeing the dynamics of a cocktail party when, people that don't want to be with other... See, a lot of phony hugs, too.
Mm-hmm.
Where the celebrity guest will have to give the hug to the person that they don't want to hug.
You also see cast members work their way up from the back so they can get on camera. If there's a crowd on stage, they work their way forward so they can be seen.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Bueno. The name of the show that you're talking about is called Kablam.
Whatever.
It's whatever.
It's the kids' show.
Yeah, I got 3 little ones. They watch it all the time.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Yeah.
Like a weekend update thing? Do they have that?
Yes, they do.
Cool.
It's like a minute. It's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's for 10-year-old because my son thinks it's a great show.
Sitting there slapping his knee, laughing out loud.
Funny. Hello, Don and Mike.
What's the frequency in Philly?
Frequency in Philly?
Huh?
I don't know.
Find out.
I'm too busy. I'm on a roll right now talking about Saturday Night Live.
You can find that information out on your own if you show some initiative.
I'm showing initiative right now.
No, I'm sorry. I'm on a super roll right now. I can't stop the momentum, baby.
Come with the momentum.
I'm about to talk about G.E. Smith, the horse-faced band leader of Saturday Night Live.
Who used to get all the camera time because he had some kind of contract.
It was in his contract.
Oh, and it was the most annoying thing on Saturday Night Live until they fired him.
That every time they went to commercial break, I bet a lot of people didn't know that. That you go, why is that ugly guitar player always getting his face on TV? Yeah, it was in the contract.
Nice ponytail.
What?
He had a nice ponytail.
So you liked G.E. Smith?
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was obnoxious.
That doesn't surprise me that you liked G.E. Smith.
Yeah, he sucked.
All right, good man. Thank you.
There you go.
Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 1210.
Did you get it?
What?
Right, I gave it to you.
Did you get it? Did you hear him?
1210.
Right.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. You're a good guy.
Right, bye-bye. Whitley finds out the station's really at 1580.
Oh!
I don't know. It might be at... It is. I had the right one. 1210 WPHT.
On the weekend.
Great. Philadelphia. But don't look for us in a prime time or anything on that station.
Join us Saturday morning at 2.
2? You should hear the liners we've got. We got on and go, hey, drunks and crackheads. The only people who'd be up in Philadelphia at midnight.
We're trying to make a good first impression. It's like, hello, losers, and we're up in the middle of the night. Yes, it's us.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I have a question for Don.
Body.
Hey, you started in Chicago, right?
Yeah, I worked there.
Did you ever work with a guy named Steve Dahl?
Oh, sure.
Where's he at now?
He's still there.
Is he really?
Yeah.
How's he doing?
Waiting to have a heart attack, I guess. He's a big fat guy.
Didn't you tell me a story about him that he actually had a lock on a refrigerator where he had goodies and stuff?
He had his own food. And he had, in the studio at WLS, he had his private refrigerator where he would stock, like, I don't know what it was, some kind of special root beer he liked. And he really put a lock and chain on it.
God.
So the other disc jockeys wouldn't take his food.
It wasn't diet, was it?
No, oh, absolutely not. No. He was cruel to me. Anybody who ever hears our show now and thinks I'm bad to people, this guy, Steve Dahl.
It's true.
I was his project.
Mm-hmm.
When they hired me at WLS, listen to this. The program director set me up for failure with the staff.
Right.
Because he had a meeting. He calls everybody in and he says, all you disc jockeys, you all really suck. I want you to hear a tape of a guy that I just hired.
Right.
This guy is great, and he plays my tape. Now, I didn't know this. This is 2 weeks before I got there. So the next day on his show, that's all Steve Dahl's talking about, is the fact that they got called into the PD's office, and he played a tape of, you know, me, some dick.
The new guy.
And I got on the air, first time I took a phone call. You suck!
Oh, man.
You suck! And that's back when Frida and I had just been married like a year and we split up for 6 months. And that was on Steve Dahl's show every day.
My God.
Every single goddamn day.
So what you're saying is you like the guy.
Yeah. No, he had a good show. He had a really good show.
You had a relationship with him afterwards, right?
Yeah, no, he's a good guy.
Well, he doesn't hold the candle to you, Don.
Of course not. A lot of people think that people will call and say, you guys rip off Howard Stern. If I'm ripping off anybody, it's this guy Steve Dahl is the guy that influenced me. And as far as I know, he's the guy that influenced Howard Stern and a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
I never heard a guy do a show. I worked at WLS, which is a station that played records.
Right.
This guy didn't play any records.
Right.
And all day he talked about farting and how he hated the program director.
Right.
I never heard anything like it before. I thought, boy, I'd love to do a show like that.
And he's still doing it.
Yeah. He's not as successful as we are.
Yeah. That's,
gee, isn't that too bad?
That's really a shame.
He's not syndicated anywhere. He's still a big load.
I wonder if he's still got the lock on the refrigerator. I like that. I love that story.
He was a real dick.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, I really respect him. He's a good broadcaster.
Thanks for the update.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, I got a tape here. Not to make this too much a swimming like me.
Right.
But I was sent a tape today. You want to hear the kind of quality bits that I used to do?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Here you go. Here's a tape. When did we get this, Rob, today?
Yeah.
This is from a disc jockey in Las Vegas.
Okay.
Who works at Mix 94.1.
Would that be the best mix of certain decades?
It doesn't say, but it probably is.
Of course.
The letter says, dear Don and Mike, Don used to listen to you when you worked at WBBM in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Thought you might get a kick out of this. I have a tape somewhere of you talking to your brother in Wisconsin. Love your show. For God's sake, stop beating your wife. And this comes from Cosman.
It's the Cosman show.
It's the Cosman at the station in Las Vegas. This is a song that, the awful parody song. Jack Borg,
okay, yeah.
Who was the big disc jockey on WLS. See, what happened was, I left the station,
right.
WLS, and I went to work at another station in Chicago where I went on against WLS.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy in this morning show was an old dinosaur named Larry Lujack.
Right.
And nobody ever said anything bad about Larry Lujack.
True.
Ever. Everybody kissed his ass, and his show was awful.
That was the code.
Right. So we went on. And now keep in mind, this is 1983.
Right.
A long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Here I am singing my great song, Your Boring Lair. Okay?
This guy is more talented than Michael Jackson. And if he would sue me, I would say that, well, obviously I was gay, so. Something in the way he talks, it's so boring. Are you talking about me? Now, I don't want to be rude, Larry Lujack, but is that you snoring?
This is real cutting edge back then. It took real balls to make this song back then. Now, terribly embarrassed by this.
You've been on the air too long. You're sick of all the songs. Hey, Larry, why don't you tell me an animal story, buddy? If you're too tired to do your show, well, Larry, just let me know. I'll be glad to take some listeners off your hands.
Cutting edge,
wow.
Man.
And how did he respond to that when you did that part?
Larry Lujack sent me a letter.
Right.
The letter said, Dear Don, the eagle does not hunt flies.
Oh, he's the guy that did that.
Blair. L-A-R.
You're on the borderline, man. You are boring, Lair. You just don't know when. You just don't know when to retire. Why don't you go play golf, Larry?
See, I didn't know any way to end it, so I just played the Cheech and Chong thing.
Hey, well, that's good.
Right?
What are you trying to do? Sorry, you're on my record, man. I just bought it. I think the only song I like more than that one is this one. So good to hear Sunglasses at Night again.
Again?
6:44 in the morning at BD96.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, wow.
That was Cutting Edge back in 1983. You remember that Buzz was my news guy then.
I remember it very well, and I remember what I thought was one of your funniest lines ever, and that was, you know, for the radio station, you would say all the same songs, just in a different order. That's the secret to our success.
That was true. B96.
And that was it. The letter came in and nothing else.
Was it, right.
Yeah.
He was pissed, though.
Yeah.
Because nobody talked about Larry Lujack.
Because you're not supposed to do that.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hi, Buzz.
Hey.
How are you guys?
Great, thank you.
Dumb question, right? I know. I heard that before.
That's all right.
I just wanted to call and tell you guys I really love your show. I've been listening to you for years, and you always make me laugh.
Thank you.
And also, I wanted to talk about Monica's and giving Monica's.
Boy, we've had so many ladies calling about Monica's.
Yes.
Well, you know, I listened to you guys last week, and you said something about how women generally don't like to do that. And I wanted to call and say I'm one of the ones who do like to do that, and there are some of us out there in the world.
And you know what we call that?
What?
Whores.
No, I'm a mother of three. Honestly, my husband
loves whore. How dare you?
Common whore.
How can you live with yourself?
I live with it every once in a while, but anyway.
What would be every once in a while?
And please be honest.
Yes, and you know, just try to think it through and maybe give us a guesstimate.
Well, I like to do it more often than what my husband does, but
really? What's his problem?
Well, no, he likes doing the other things, but this one particular act he only likes once in a while, I guess. Maybe.
Really? What's wrong with you? Might want to have him checked out.
Well, I know, I believe it. He had a vasectomy too, so.
My God, that explains a lot. Why'd you do that to him?
Well, he wanted to. I wanted another child, but he just decided three was enough for him.
Yeah, usually it's the guy that wants another child.
Yeah, usually. I know, and I hear you.
And usually it's the guy that wants the Monica all the time.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, yeah.
Maybe, you know, I'm thinking that we might have a reverse Charlie Stasso situation here.
I don't know about that, but I keep trying, so.
And anyway, keep trying what?
Keep trying to get him to like it.
It wouldn't be because of your technique, do you think?
No, I haven't had any complaints before him.
Well, you know, that's a tough one. Because what guy is going to say, you know, hey, that was real nice, but you were just a little dog-like on
sure.
You know, you don't hear that.
You know, down those sex books, they say that you're supposed to communicate with your partner, but perhaps your husband is not telling you that indeed the incisors are in the way.
No, I'm just the dentist for that problem.
Instead, he says, no, honey, I'm really not in the mood for that.
Actually, I'm not in the mood for the one thing that any guy would kill for at any time on the planet. No thanks, honey.
Well, I don't have any problem with technique. At least I don't think so.
Right. And again, you know, what's your poor husband going to say? There you are, trying to please him, trying to do what every 99% of the guys like. What's he supposed to say? Honey, it hurts?
You know what, really? This would be a real turn-on for your husband, I'm sure, unless he doesn't have a pulse. The next time you're doing that, really just say, honey, you sometimes I don't think you really enjoy this. Is there anything I could do to make it better?
Well, that's true. I could try that.
And what would the answer be? What could he do to make it better?
Well, I know what he could do to make it better for me. He could get bigger.
Oh, he's this poor guy. This guy's got all kinds of complexes. You made him. You made him neuter himself.
You're talking
about his size.
Well, he's okay. I mean, he's average size, but he could use one of those enlargers we're talking about.
And I wish this guy would call and talk about how big your ass is.
No, it's not that big.
Sure, it's not. Okay, bye bye.
Average not good enough for her.
Bye bye.
Hi, this is her husband. Her ass.
Hey, you.
My God.
She got the dish ass. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
New card. What do you think?
Oh, very nice. Look at that.
Picked them up from the printers yesterday.
Good coloring.
That's bone. And the lettering is something called Cillian Braille.
It's very cool, baby. But that's nothing.
Look at this.
That is really nice. Eggshell with Romalian type. What do you think?
Nice.
Jesus. That is really super. Have a nitwit like you get so tasteful.
I can't believe that Bryce prefers Van Patten's card to mine.
The Don and Mike Show. It sure beats a pickaxe in the gonads. The Don and Mike Show.
Not to beat a dead horse. Canon Grace. Back to the witness stand, please. Mike, a major booking.
Yes.
And you were privy for some behind-the-scenes action on the show.
All right, good.
Major booking tomorrow from wrestling, The Undertaker.
The Undertaker!
But only if he wears his whole getup and all that stuff.
Yeah, we want to wear his uniform like he does in the real world of wrestling.
Jelly. Hey, Canon.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Bonnie.
How are you?
Listen, I forgot to ask you when you were here.
Uh-huh.
Could you please spell attorney?
I'm not the word. I'm not. I'm a terrible speller.
Okay, Tom Gavin, will you spell attorney?
A T O U R N E Y. I'm terrible.
Oh my!
I'm a terrible. I'm awful at spelling.
Well, I believe you've just proven that. Oh my!
Spell attention.
A-T-T-E-N-T-I-O-N.
There you go.
Oh, good. Very good.
Robert, you got that one.
Is it just a mental block with the word attorney?
No, there's certain words like Jennifer. I can't spell Jennifer.
Spell Jennifer for us.
It's J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Have you been working?
How about gigantic?
G-I-G-A-N-T-I-C.
Yeah.
I mean, there's certain words.
Is spelling something that's always been difficult to you or...
I just said. I just don't like spelling. I mean, I enjoy spelling.
Too bad you can't find some electronic toy that would help you with that, huh?
I'm sure there are.
You know, there is right a speak and spell.
Well, there are more sophisticated ones that will, like, spell checks on computers that can fit on your wristwatch.
And they have pocket spellers, like calculators.
Yeah.
Spell impression.
Yeah, I-M-P-R-E-S-I-O-N.
No.
Two S's.
Yeah.
Two S's.
I'm in the ballpark, so. But I remember one thing that I wanted to bring back about the GPS.
Well, I just wanted to let you know, I would have brought all this up before, except during the commercial break, all the boys reminded me what a bad speller you are. And I didn't know how to, you know, for a long time I wanted to bring that up on the show, and I didn't really know how to.
I was never aware of it until Low Budget Jeopardy when you submitted the attorney one, which was A-T-O-U-R-N.
See, Cannon brings in the piece of paper that says the guy's Joe Blow, and he's from Sacramento, and he's an attorney. Mike held it up and said, look how Cannon spelled the word attorney.
And in your defense, Cannon, I immediately thought that was Charles Broyhill that had written that, because, you know, with him, I wouldn't be surprised, but I was very surprised to find that you were the author, and then you spelled it again the exact same way, which was...
And you also have a problem with Salisbury, as in Salisbury,
yeah,
Maryland.
Yeah, that's the worst.
All right, spell Salisbury.
It's like S-A-L-I-S-B-U-R-Y.
Yeah. You practiced on that. Originally, it was... What was it?
S-A-U-L, like the name
like
Saul.
Saul, yeah. That was
like our old agent, Saul Rabinowitz.
Welcome to Salisbury. Hi, we're king of the souls.
All right, spell revised.
Let's see, R-E-V-I-S-E-D.
Okay, yeah, good. See, you're knocking a few out here.
Yeah, spelling's not my bag.
How about applause?
A-P-P-L-A-U-S-E.
Well, you're not totally gone.
Attention.
A-T-T-E-N-T-I-O-N.
Mike, you paid attention. I already gave him attention.
Oh, you already gave him attention.
I
must be rubbing off. I apologize.
Admiral.
A-D-M-I-R-A-L.
Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Mischief.
M-I-S-C-H-I-E.
Mike, I don't know how to spell mischief.
I don't know.
Is that right, Buzz? M-I-S-C-H-I-E-F?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, right. Yes, okay. That's right. I before E.
Right. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
So I guess it's just a few selected words that you have problems spelling?
Pretty much, yeah.
And how has that hindered you in everyday life, or has it not?
Never.
Never? How about in school?
Well, except for the attorney thing. In school,
What do you mean, except for the attorney thing? What do you mean by that?
Well, it was the first time where you commented.
It was the first time you caught him, Mike, in a spelling error.
Oh, okay. But you've had other spelling errors that,
There have been a few, yeah.
Really?
But yeah,
but it doesn't affect you in your day-to-day life, right?
Nah.
Really?
I don't write that many letters, so.
Right.
How do you spell wrestler?
Wrestler? W-R-E-S-T-L-E-R.
Well,
yeah, you got it.
You could write a letter.
There must be just a few select words. Are there any other trouble words that we should look out for in the near future?
Spell Jennifer like Jennifer Flowers.
J-E-N.
No. G. That was a trick question. Starts with a G.
So on.
Jennifer.
Spell colleague.
C-O-L-L-E-A-G-U-E.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct. See, these are tough words.
Very good.
Spell dog.
D-R-L.
Okay.
E-N-T.
Satellite.
S-A-T-I-L-E-I-T.
No.
I don't know.
But you've got it on your hip. But you're wearing
it. Saddle it. Saddle. Almost like a saddle T word.
My saddle.
T-I-T-A-N-I-C.
My saddle ain't hanged up on me.
And it's better. I can usually tell when I'm writing stuff out if it looks funny. I mean, it's...
And you said attorneys the first time you get caught, but you also get caught on Salisbury. I should point that out to you.
Yeah.
Well, live and learn.
Live and learn. What did you want to say about your contraption?
No, the thing that I wanted to say was, I remember a couple years back that you bought night vision goggles.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mike's an idiot,
though. That's the same family
I take my night vision goggles all over the global positioning satellite. The night vision goggles allow me immediate access to things
in
the dark.
That's for you, Mike. That's for you, night vision.
And I'd be lying if I told you those night vision goggles weren't sitting up in like some dusty corner of my house, never having been used again. But you were probably the most excited about the night vision goggles.
They're great. Would you like
to buy them for me? I'll give you a real good price. $1 million.
Spell vision.
V-I-S-I-O-N.
Yes.
Yes.
And we already put away the ding. Ding. There's your ding. So that's all you wanted to say? That was your great rebuttal?
Well, I just thought that, I mean...
Was that your rebuttal for me?
As anyone should... I mean, you would love the GPS. I would think.
No.
That.
No, I would not, Ken. And I don't want to disappoint you, but I do. I looked at the product, and you know, when I got down to within 120 feet, mm-hmm. it was a triangle with a little squiggly tail, and
well,
nothing else to tell me where I was.
Well, that's the marker. That's the icon that says that's you.
That's the icon that says what?
You have a lot of disposable income, don't you?
No.
Okay.
All right.
It's a great product.
Spell product.
P-R-O-P-U-C-T.
There you go. Yes. Very nice. Very clever.
All right. Thank you, Cannon.
Bye, Cannon.
Bye-bye. Hey, will you loan me $100?
Bye-bye.
His dad's loaded.
Oh, big money.
Richie Rich right there.
Absolutely. Anything he wants. I mean, you know, today a GPS, you know, tomorrow the entire CIA.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I was wondering, this is Steve in Boise, Idaho. Wondering if you could tell me when we lost you over here.
Yeah, hold on, Steve. Someone will talk to you about that. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Leave Cannon alone.
Is this a Cannon fan?
I don't even think that was a woman. I thought it was a guy.
A guy?
What do you mean, leave him alone? There's some great bits inside Cannon Grace.
Was that Cannon's Jorge?
Hello. Donna Mike?
Oh.
Hello, what am I doing here?
Peek-a-poo-ass.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
I just, congratulations on the book.
Oh, thanks. Now, listen, thanks to all of our great listeners. That's no lie.
I just want to let you know the satellite system that Cannon's fancy gizmo works on is going to be down because of that 2000 bug. Come April 15th.
Oh, you mean the thing that's going to shut down all the computers?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, man, then he'll be... Do you think there's an angry side of Cannon where he'll be, like, smashing that?
Oh, I know there is. Cannon! Oh, Cannon, come in and talk to this fellow, please.
I bet he has the answer to this.
Cannon? This fellow says that in the year 2000, your thing's going to crash like computers.
In 1999.
In 1999?
Have you researched this at all?
It's a fallacy. The GPS that I bought...
How do you spell fallacy?
F-A-L-A-C-Y.
No.
No.
Close though. But that's
F A L A C I E.
No.
F A L A C E.
No.
Fallacy.
Two L's ends with a Y.
F really?
F A L L A C Y.
Right. Well. Whatever.
And if you really want to make, if you want to spell it the dirty way, that would be P H A L L A C Y.
Fallacy. Fallacy.
Yeah, actually, you really want to be super dirty, it would be P H A L L U S Y.
And if you want to be down with the homies, it would be P H A T.
Yeah.
I'm rolling with the homies. So, about your toy crashing in the year 1999?
No chance.
Toy.
It's all based on military technology and.
Yeah, the Navy satellite that they put up. About 20 years ago, when they put that satellite up, they used software that they did. They had no idea of this year 2000 problem.
So virtually what you're saying is in less than a year, this product will be antiquated?
All of the GPSs will be, yeah.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Nerd Talk.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Wizard.
I suppose you get to a put-down from Cannon.
He runs out of the room. Thank you, Mr. Wizard.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, I just wanted to say my dad bought one of those for the boat. He's got a 32-foot of real old sail.
How come everybody has a rich daddy except us?
Well, no, it's an old boat. It's like 1970.
You know, I bet your daddy can find out where all the good fishing holes are, especially if he takes that boat to Honduras.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, hello there.
Hey, you're on the air.
Yeah. Don.
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hey, you sure that's not Phineas T. Whoopi you got in there?
What? I wish I understood this joke.
Phineas T. Whoopi from the old Tennessee Tuxedo cartoon.
Tennessee Tuxedo. Whoopi!
See, God knew everything. You know, he had all the tricks.
All right, thank you.
Hey.
No, sorry. Hi, Donna Mike Show.
Yeah, the GPS will work. I know it will work because I'm in the military.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Now, there you have it. You picture that guy like he got done with that and then he spent the next 20 seconds just shaking his head like this. Yeah, I am in the military, but I know it will work.
Donna Mike Show.
Hey, Donna Mike calling from Delmarva.
Hi.
And just want to say how great it is to hear you back on the air.
Oh, we got some great stations up there, don't we?
Oh, yeah, and... there was no announcement that you guys were leaving from the other station, and just turned on one day and you were gone.
That's a powerful signal. You were telling me about how powerful that signal was, and I listened all the way from when I left the beach. I got it as far as Honduras.
Hey, one more thing.
Hello, yeah.
Hey,
Cannon, give that to me. I want to drive home today with my eyes closed.
I haven't done this in a long time.
What? You haven't done what?
Oh, sperm bank.
Oh, is this the black guy that always talks to my mother-in-law at that hospital she works
that
at?
Guy.
Right.
I haven't seen her in a while.
Well, that's great, and you're a big fan of Buzz, too. You know, Buzz has a new suitor. It's Jorge.
Yeah, get in line, sir.
Or Jorge.
Jorge, Mike.
Sorry.
Jorge.
Jorge.
Hey, just want to thank you guys for coming back.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Be gentle with my mother-in-law.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, this is Dick.
Hey, I'm sure it is.
Hey, the GPS system will work fine in year 2000.
Hold on. I got to show you right here on the screen, okay? Here's a prime example.
What?
Cannon writes, Dick from Hollywood, Maryland.
Uh-huh. Yes.
They update satellites, and satellites is spelled S-A-T-A-L-I-E-T-E-S.
Satellites. Satellites.
Satellites.
The satellites are ready.
Is he clean? Well, fortunately, you don't have to be able to spell well.
Yes.
To be working on our show.
Not at all. It's not a prerequisite, and it's charming in its own way.
Oh, listen, your car phone is breaking up. I'm sorry. Please call us back. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, on that last segment with Cannon on there, I was wondering where Tom Gavin was and all that.
Tom Gavin is a stellar speller. Yeah.
Hello.
Hey.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, does Cannon have a big dick?
Oh, I know. That's about Rob Bay. Okay, I got you. What about yesterday's show, right? That,
yes, yeah, that's a little retro call there.
And yes, his dad bought it for him. Bought it at Neiman Marcus. With a big red bow on it.
It's gold plated.
Son, I bought you.
And it tells you where you are at all times.
Not on my show.
Hello?
It's a satellite penis. Hello?
But wait till the year 2000. It's going to crash.
Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Your penis will crash.
It'll disintegrate.
Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Could I be the first to say congratulations on your great ratings?
No, you'd be the second, but thanks.
No, and you guys have earned it, and you run a very tight show.
Yeah, baby.
And we enjoy it here in Sacramento.
Thank you, my friend.
Excellent.
Hey, listen, we only hope that the folks in Sacramento keep up their end of the deal with, because, you know, the ratings that we were reading were here from D.C., from WJFK.
That's right. Really?
Yeah, so.
You guys are hot here.
Oh, hot, baby. Hot as a firecracker.
When are you coming out?
I don't know.
Mm.
How about that for an answer?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, you keep picking on that guy. I want you to spell the longest word in the English language.
And I'm not picking on Cannon. I'm just bringing another member of our show forward, sir.
Oh, well, you can spell, right?
No, I'm awful. I'm very stupid.
I don't think, neither one of us are very good spellers. Buzz, you're not all that good.
Although, right. I think I could beat you in a spelling.
Are you a good speller?
I'm an excellent speller.
Oh, you're an excellent speller.
Well, give me a real word, then, not some, like, trick, longest word ever.
No, this is real. Anti-disestablishmentarianism.
A-N-T-I-D-I... Anti, what was the word?
Anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Come on, give me a real one. That takes too long to figure out.
It's a person that doesn't believe in upholding the law.
All right, A-N-T-I-D-I-S-E-S-T-A-B-L-I-S-H-M-E-N. Anti-disestablishment, what?
Disestablishment, close enough.
A-N-T-I-D-I-S... E-S-T-A-B-L-I-S-H...
I already had it.
M-E-N-T-A-R-I-N-N-I-S-M.
Yeah, it's pretty...
Is that, do they have it?
It's pretty phonetical. I mean, it's not that hard to spell, you know?
Well, give me another one, then.
Oh, I'm not that. I'm not king of the spellers here. I mean, I just gave you...
Oh, okay. So we put a little pressure on you, ask you for something else, and you can't come up with it.
Right. Hey, I think we both did pretty well coming up with the spelling of that word.
Marcos is a homo.
Is that some personal vendetta?
Yes, obviously.
More
hello.
Gang codes.
Not on my show. Hello.
Hey.
Buzz gang codes. Hey, all you gang members.
Yeah.
Here's today's code. Hello.
Hey, guys. I've counted the privilege to be in the presence of radio gods.
Well, thank you, my friend.
And I'm calling from Anderson, South Carolina. I'm kind of nervous because I've never called a radio show before.
Don't be nervous. There's no need to be nervous.
You guys make me laugh every day. I kill bugs.
You're an exterminator?
Yeah.
Bug killer.
And I drive
bug killer, that's
house
right.
House every day, and you guys just keep us laughing. I know that there are a lot of secret listeners in Anderson and in Greenville, and
yeah.
I want everybody just to speak up and tell everybody about Don and Mike.
How many of them bugs you killed today?
Oh, about 10,000.
You know what I always like to ask exterminators? What is the grossest thing that you have ever seen in your career as a bug killer?
The grossest thing?
Grossest thing you've ever seen. Every exterminator's got one of those stories.
Okay, this is going to make you puke.
That's what they always say.
Good, we're ready.
Okay. There was a blind elderly gentleman in the home, and his sister lived next door in a big fine house.
Yeah.
And this guy lived in a house that looked condemnable, and he was blind, and his clothes were torn, and he had roaches crawling all over him. And it was awful. There was German roaches crawling all over his counter, and they paid me money to go in and spray, and I just went and gave him the money back, told him we couldn't help him.
Well, you're an exterminator.
There you go, Mike. America's funniest exterminators.
I'm not God.
That's right, he's just an exterminator. He's not God.
One man.
Right, well, thank you.
Well,
that was a lovely story.
I thought it was a very lovely story.
You told it so well.
And you tell it so well.
Such enthusiasm.
Such enthusiasm.
Great experience. I've always just wondering what it would be like to call you guys, and now I know. All right,
love
goodbye.
You
guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You notice he said German cockroaches, huh? That's what they are, German cockroaches. Yeah.
Okay, Jelly. We'll be right back.
Will we meet again? Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice of an answer as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.